about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Are you ready, Carl?
Yes, Professor.
Now remember, after I throw the switch, it will take several seconds for the accumulator to build up. When the red light on the control panel flashes, you throw your contact lever.
I understand.
Oh, all right. One, two, three.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
B.I.G.
My balls itch so much. They really, really itch a lot. My balls, they itch so much. They really, really itch so much.
I'm sure you've seen the numbers. I'm just calling to say not to worry. We're not bothered by it, so don't you be. Don't let it get to you. You guys, just keep doing what you're doing. Keep making with the funny. We're all good.
And now, by the way, I don't take no orders from no women. Our feature presentation.
I miss that guy. That guy was the best.
Yeah, I love that guy.
I don't take no orders from no woman. Smart guy. It's World Famous K-Rock. It is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:37 on a Monday morning.
Why was that guy in the news? I missed that story.
I think he was...
What did he do?
Oh, wow. Why was he in the news?
I was on vacation, I think, when it happened, so I never found out.
I can't remember, but I know that there was a... the woman interviewing him is the one girl he was talking to. I think it was a witness of some kind of an accident.
Oh, I see.
Okay. Yeah. So there was, it's so vague. I can't remember now. You're right.
So there was a woman reporter, and she was asking him all these questions. He started turning on her. I don't take no question from no woman.
He's my hero. I love him.
What are you talking about?
Hey, speaking of chicks, in a few minutes we're going to be talking about the TLC show Strange Sex that had the incredible story of a woman with natural 102 triple Z breasts last night.
What?
Yes. And before we get Z? To that, yes, triple Z.
What happens if you're bigger than Z? Where do they go?
I don't know.
I think they just keep adding Zs, I think.
It's a fourth Z.
Z, maybe. Z.
But 102, by the way, that's the distance around, right?
Yeah. She's a big one.
She's a couch.
She's the woman that has the body that supports those boobs.
Right.
Yes.
And that's not good.
But she's got a pretty face.
Yes.
Which is what they always say about the big girls.
Right.
But anyway, we're not talking about her right now. We are talking about this woman who is in the news. Her name is Chrissy Lance, and she is the opposite of our friend with the 102 triple Zs. She's flat as a board.
Okay.
And she is panhandling just outside Akron, Ohio. She sits at a busy intersection on her motorcycle with a sign that says, "Not homeless, need boobs."
Wow.
She has decided, she lives in Rittman, an Akron suburb. She has decided that her self-esteem requires that she gets bigger boobs, and she is going to panhandle for it. And she has the license to panhandle, which I guess is necessary in that city. She just started, I think, over the weekend. So far, she's raised, at least when this article went to press, she raised about $90, and she says she's not leaving her spot until she reaches her goal. She works as a barmaid. The implants will go far to help improve her self-esteem. Now, I guess my question is, the reason I bring it up, good idea, bad idea, and if you saw this, would you pull over and drop a couple of bucks in to help a woman get some boobs, or would you go, that's not a good use of my extra cash?
If I believe she was going to get boobs with it instead of alcohol,
right?
I would definitely. But I would also ask her this question. She needs to promise that as long as she stands out there and begs for money for boobs, she also then, after she gets them, needs to go back there and show the people what they get, what they got for their money.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
In other words, some sort of a follow-up sign for the people who drive by that intersection who helped her achieve her dreams.
Thanks. You paid for this.
That is a great idea. Like 1 week.
Yes.
She's there with very low, tight top.
Right. And then if somebody pulls up that actually gave her money, then, well, you know, we'll flash.
I think that sounds very reasonable.
I'm just saying. You should get something for your money, right?
Yeah. I think she'll make the money.
She made 40, what did I read in this other article? I think she made $46 in the first 2 hours, so $23 an hour. In the first 2 hours.
That's good money, by the way.
Tax-free.
That is good money. Yeah, absolutely tax-free, yeah. So she feels like she should have enough for the surgery within a month or so, if she sticks to it, puts in the hours. So, I mean, look, we talked to that guy a few years ago who's running that website where they do this exact same thing except online. You go on and there are photos of girls on there and you can pick one or however many you want and you can actually donate money and then they do put pictures up afterwards. Remember that guy had that?
That's right.
pay, buy my boobs or pay for my implants or whatever it was called. Myfreeimplants.com. That was it. So this is just the real life version of something that's been on the internet for a long time. But good on you, Chrissy Lance of Ripon, Ohio.
No kidding. That's a pretty smart way to go about it. Why not?
I think so, too. Yeah. I'm sure more men will contribute.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
You kidding? Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
You're the kooky guy who doesn't know what he's talking about.
Very accurate. Very accurate. Alex Clare will be here performing
he's
live.
He's good.
Yep, I agree. Some live performance on today's show. We're going to talk to Harvey Levin from TMZ.com about all the celebrities that are going on.
Okay.
Do celebrities go on?
They don't. I was wondering about that myself.
It's going to be a good day, Bean. I'm just giving you a heads up right now.
What time did you get back from Comic-Con?
Well, that's not the problem. I got back Saturday night, but then I had a really bad headache, and I slept almost zero, and then I slept almost zero last night.
Oh, man.
Oh, no, you're strong on little sleep.
Oh, I feel like it. I feel like nobody can usually tell, so that's good. Attacked by wild animals. We need your stories today. You were attacked by a wild animal.
I'm sure this happens in the city all the time.
You would think, right? At least with, who knows, with some, in some of the mountains, you know, there's mountain lions and stuff.
I know.
There.
Bears come down.
Dan Bova, we're going to talk to you about Maxim's summer issue. And, you know, just because of the articles. That's all. We also have Psycho Mike and I went on the Comic-Con floor and interviewed many different people. And I'll tell you, if you've been to Comic-Con and you see these people, you think like... You know what it's like being when we go everywhere else and we have to talk people into doing interviews?
Yes.
No, no, seriously. It'll be cool. We'll be nice. At Comic-Con, you just start interviewing people and they line up.
Really?
They just line up. We stayed in one spot and they just would line up. All right, next. Come on up.
Do they just, if there's a line, they get in it? Is that what?
Well, maybe.
That's
I don't know.
Part of the Comic-Con mentality. But part of it is the other 51 weekends of the year, no one listens to these geeks.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
Finally they're in a place where people care what they have to say, and they're going to get in on that.
But it's Psycho Mike and I, so
yeah,
you didn't care all that much. But they were.
They could just be trying to hit on Psycho Mike. Maybe that's why.
That was
wrong.
About.
You ever think about that?
That was about 75% of it. Yes, I found myself taking a lot of pictures of them. So anyway, that's coming up as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beatnik.
This is a very exciting day here on the program for a lot of reasons, not the least of which is brand new No Doubt music, which we have already played for you once here today, and we'll play again coming up shortly. Also, brand new Green Day. You know, guys, they've got those three albums coming out right in a row. Uno in stores in September, Dose in stores in November, and then Trey in stores in January, which escapes me why they wouldn't want it before Christmas.
That's the most bizarre thing ever.
Yeah.
The first single from the first album is called Oh Love, and it is brand new Green Day music, and it is coming up immediately next here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, the Showbiz Beat. Kevin and Bean filling in this time. Ralph Garman is gone for a little while, and I'll tell you what, we need Ralph here today to kind of recap all of the unbelievable news that came out of Comic-Con this weekend, because he's the one who can put things like the announcement that the Ant-Man movie is happening in perspective.
Ant-Man!
How excited should we be?
He controls the ants.
How long have we been making fun of Ant-Man on this program?
Forever.
Ant-Man, I found out today, is the superhero alter ego of scientist Henry Pym. He created the formula that shrinks him down to the size of an ant. Remember, his girlfriend becomes the Wasp. He helped form the Avengers in the comic books, but was nowhere to be seen in the recent Avengers movie. But Marvel kind of surprised people by saying, yeah, we're making an Ant-Man movie. Guess who's making the film?
Who?
Edgar Wright.
Really?
Who we all love so much. He was there at Comic-Con. He brought footage from Ant-Man showing Ant-Man beating up some guys in a hallway, and his line was, Ant-Man will kick your ass 1 inch at a time.
I'm in.
So Ant-Man apparently is happening.
That's fantastic news.
And we'll talk later about some of the other big Marvel news from the weekend, including the upcoming Guardians of the Galaxy film and also the new information released about Iron Man 3. They had an awful lot of stuff going on at Comic-Con this weekend.
Yeah, they were showing the first 5 minutes of just about everything that's coming out, and it's amazing how much stuff is on the way.
Oh, that's
exciting.
Oh, my
God. And Django Unchained is all I care about, by the way. The new Quentin Tarantino movie coming out in December. Oh, my God, I can't wait. The stuff that I heard about it from this weekend, it just sounds incredible.
Katie Holmes doing everything in her power to make sure that her daughter, Suri, stays away from the Church of Scientology. That apparently was the big sticking point, no matter what they wanted to put out there.
Yeah.
It was the Church of Scientology. Los Angeles Times reports Tom Cruise's ex enrolled their 6-year-old at a private Catholic school called the Convent of the Sacred Heart, And I believe the rest of the title is that, and also not the Church of Scientology.
Yeah, that's all she was looking for. I don't care what kind of religion you get into, just not that one.
Yeah, she's apparently they require mass every Thursday when school starts, and it's not an option. And tuition runs $38,000 per year a six-year-old.
Yeah, that's insane. But we had heard, I guess it's not true, that they were going to be hands-off in terms of religion until she was older.
That. Well, yes, but that's not necessarily her. I mean,
yeah, but you're sending her to a school that requires mass. I don't know how you defend
that. That's a great point, Lisa. I don't know what the deal is.
He must be losing that argument.
Yes, he must.
Katie may know enough to be able to win all the arguments from now on to stay quiet, perhaps. Hey, it is Monday. That means box office results over the weekend are in, at least the preliminary ones. It looks like Ice Age 4 is the latest in a long line of hits in the Ice Age series. You know, not very many movies. I think Shrek is maybe the only other one that has had four successful, you know, movies for animated movies. Ice Age 4 made $46 million over the weekend.
Wow. Gosh.
Great debut. I guess they're just reliable. I guess if you've got kids, you're just so happy when something like this comes along because the kids have seen the first ones, they've seen the second one, seen the third one, they like it. You know it's an easy way to make them happy and shut them up for 2 hours. Amazing Spider-Man, another big weekend this past, $35 million. There's already a lot of talk about the sequel for that one. Ted hanging in there at number three with $22.1 million. Then Brave, Magic Mike, Savages. Oh, did you see Magic Mike, Lisa?
I did, with the K-Rock listener, Lori. And then we went and had wine. It was a wonderful date.
Wait, none of your friends ended up showing up?
No.
All of the people that we talked to you about on Friday that you tried to get to go with you that wouldn't, they still continued to not go with you?
Oh, she said.
Yeah, they were out.
And now you're hooking up with listeners.
I am. And it's great. Why not?
I did see that Lisa tweeted that she was out in front of the theater, and it was a little desperate and a little sad.
I said, here's where I will be. Here's when I will be here. I was really afraid there were some guys who were going to show up because they kept threatening to.
Yeah. but then you realize it was Magic Mike, so there was no danger of a guy showing up.
So it was all good.
That's hilarious. How's the movie? How's your boyfriend Channing Tatum?
He was charming. He was really good in it. I used to think that I couldn't understand why he was as successful, but right. I really get it now. He was great.
Savages, the new Oliver Stone film, number six, then Tyler Perry's movie, then Katy Perry's movie, then Madagascar 3, and Moonrise Kingdom rounds out your top 10 with $3.5 million at the box office.
All right, birthdays for today. Drummer Stuart Copeland of The Police is 60. Dancer Michael Flatley, Lord of the Dance. That guy has, I don't know, all the money.
Hundreds of millions of dollars, yeah.
Just all.
Does he still dance, or does he just franchise the Lord of the Dance around the world now?
I think he just franchises, but I'm not sure. Not sure. Actor Corey Feldman is 41. Phoebe Cates is 49. Let's see. Ed Kowalski of Live is 41. Chris Pontius, Jackass, is 38. Annalyn McCord.
There it is. That's the one.
Is 25.
That's it.
But the one that really, this is close to my heart.
Uh-huh.
Will Ferrell is 45.
Aww. Yeah! Love him.
I'd even give him a bell. That's all I'm saying. And that's the Showbiz Beat. Green Day on the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. That song is called Oh Love. Brand new music.
It's nice to have new music.
Yes, it is.
Music. Whatever you call
brand
it.
New music.
Brand new music.
How dare you.
Brand new music.
Brand new music.
Very few acts can put out 3 albums worth of material in a couple of months.
Yeah.
I'd say none.
most are lucky to get 12 good songs to put on a record. But Green Day says they got three albums worth, and they have, you know, they've impressed me in the past, so I'm eager to see how this all plays out. But Oh Love is the first of the singles from the 3 new albums coming out. We got brand new No Doubt for you coming up next. That's called Settle Down from their album, September 25th. Push and Shove is going to be out. First new No Doubt song in 11 years, and we'll play it for you next year on the Kevin Bean Show. First, though, Strange Sex is the name of a series that they have on TLC. It came back for its new season last night with a bunch of new stories to tell, including the woman with the largest natural breasts in the world. Lisa, you've seen her picture, right?
Yes, I saw her.
They're sure big.
They're really, really. I would love.
But the rest of her body, can it be?
She's big, but she's not like you know, can't get off the couch big at all.
No, she's not at all. In fact, she's nowhere near as big as a lot of these, you know, fattest chicks that we see, in the news and everything. But we got a chance to meet her last night. Now, one of the things that has taken over Strange Sex on TLC, and I'm not sure if this is the Access Hollywood syndrome or what, but everything has to be put to a disco bed. I don't know why the news now has to do this. I mean,
sure.
This
not a joke. Are we in a nightclub with Omar, or are we watching a story about a poor woman with a bad physical condition? What's happening here, right?
They're nature's most obvious symbols of fertility, femininity, and sex. But is there ever too much of a good thing?
I am here to say yes in this case. There is, in fact.
Because you've seen the picture?
Too much of a good thing. Yeah. 102 triple Z. Let's meet Annie, the proud owner of the world's largest natural breasts.
My name is Annie. I currently reside in Arlington, Virginia. No one looks like me. I'm one in a million. Always imitative but never duplicate. It's just me. I'm a celebrity in other countries. I do have security because people chase me.
By the way, the music is ridiculous, right?
Well, it's drowning her out.
It's ridiculous.
Not only is it ridiculous, which I love, but the volume level is so loud you can barely hear her talking. Now, she seems to be super proud of herself.
Yes, and this is one of the reasons why I was so fascinated to see Annie's story last night, is I was really feeling terrible for her. I was thinking, what a horrible way to go through life. Can you imagine? And we'll learn more about the specifics of what her life is like here in a second.
And I thought she'd be saying, oh, I'm miserable, I need surgery, blah, blah, blah.
She loves it.
Wow.
She loves it. Well, first of all, she's a religious person. She thinks that they're a gift from God.
They are.
Why would I ever change that? And she also, as you'll find out in a little bit, you'll find out how she makes an incredible amount of money out of having the world's largest breasts. But she said, and you just heard in that clip, maybe, that she has security when she travels in a lot of places, especially around the world, because she is so famous, because she is a huge celebrity because of these, as we'll find out. But first, a little more of her backstory. They bring in the sad music, and you can tell it wasn't always easy for little Annie as she was growing up. You can tell because this is the sad music to tell her tale.
Kids would point, they stare, they giggle, they laugh. I wasn't able to do jumping jacks. I wasn't able to sit at the desk like other kids. So that's when I knew that I was different, and that's when my childhood changed.
Your childhood changed because you started wearing a bra in the third grade, Annie, because these boobs started growing.
Is this Annie or Annie's dad that's talking right now?
this is Annie.
It's not a girl.
No, she's very much a woman.
No.
She's very much a woman.
Not vocally.
Here's the doctor who is describing this giantism that she has and what it's like for her.
Gigantomastia is a slow progressive growth of breast tissue and slow progressive accumulation of fat tissue. And the obvious health issue is the need to bear the weight on the shoulder and back area.
By the way, I love that the doctor also gets music. I love that everybody gets a rave bit.
He gets island music, man.
Annie is going to be talking about how difficult these breasts are, including, as you can understand, she would never even bother putting on a seatbelt. Why would you when you already have airbags in front of you, right?
I'm not going to put on my seatbelt because it's too tight across my breast. When I have to bend over, if I get up the wrong way, I'm going to hurt myself. If I stand up for a long period of time, I do get numbness in my shoulders.
She gets numbness in her shoulders.
You don't want numbness in your shoulders.
All right, now let me ask you this, and particularly you, the girl. If you have these breasts that will not stop growing, and they are now at the point where they weigh 40, almost 45 pounds each. Okay,
wow.
She's carrying close to 90 pounds around on her chest.
That's a
everywhere
whole
other she
goes. Person.
Yeah, yes. Think about strap a 90-pound kid to you.
Yes. 7 days a week, 365 days a year, she's carrying 90 pounds around. That's pulling on her back and her shoulders. She has to support that. She has to carry that much weight. How often would you think, I got to get these reduced? I got to get these things cut down. I got to get some relief.
If you had them by half, you would still have gigantic boobs. Yeah.
Would you ever stop plotting a way to get the money to have surgery to get them reduced?
Absolutely not.
Some organs, such as your breasts, receive special attention.
Well, they certainly do. Well, here's what Annie says about the suggestion that many, including some in her own family, have made to her, which is, hey, why don't you cut some of that out?
I've never considered having breast reduction.
What?
I've never thought about bringing a knife to myself. Why fix something that's not broken?
How do you have that attitude if that's your full-time life?
Maybe she doesn't understand. She said, take a knife to myself. Maybe she thinks she has to do the surgery.
I think she understands.
Okay.
Well, now we're going to find out why this is such a gold mine for Annie.
Most people know me around the world as Norma Sticks. I'm a fantasy model.
She's a fantasy model who goes by the name Norma Stitz. If you want to Google her, there's all sorts of stuff online. It's S-T-I-T-Z.
I have produced and directed over 250 videos. No hardcore.
Okay, over 250 videos, no hardcore.
So it's just basically her showing them.
She does not have sex in these videos. She does not do porn.
And she makes a good living doing that?
There ain't no sex. I got started in the business, an adult magazine for amateur models.
You got it.
Boom, over the magazine, there I was. And that was the beginning of my empire.
Her empire.
Her empire.
How do you think she's doing with videos where there's no sex, where she's just taking off of her top and playing with them?
Well, it's she's exaggerating.
It's such an oddity, though. I don't know that. I mean, she's in a unique situation, kind of by herself, so she probably she probably cleans up.
You think she has an empire?
Empire. I don't know what she would consider empire. I would say she makes 75 grand or something ridiculous, 80 grand. Right,
let's find out.
All right. I have a website. I get over 2 million hits a day.
What?
It's very lucrative.
Apparently the violin players agree.
Now,
I don't have any way of knowing how that translates into cash, but she gets over 2 million hits a day on this website where there must be people who have this fetish of ridiculously large breasts, right?
Check out those gigantic knockers.
You can't do any better than Annie because she's got the largest natural breasts in the world. But I wonder what she's making. I wonder how accurate your number is,
I don't know,
Kevin.
Because, man, oh, man, you would just think – at some point, they're way too big for everyone, except for a very, very, very small niche.
And isn't there something about seeing something new? Like, okay, she's got the biggest, but you've checked her out
so you look at
20
it, right,
times.
Move on.
Right.
20.
Now, aren't you? Well, I don't know.
Once for me.
That's why I'm trying to figure out how she could possibly have made over 250 videos. How different can they be if it's just her? Right?
Right.
Huh. She hasn't been able to buy a new bra in over 2 years because the one company that would make them for her has gone out of business. So she's having trouble finding another place that she can get a new bra. I mean, it just seems like there's so much downside to having this condition.
She really needs to wear a bra.
She sure does.
Can you imagine her going braless?
She sure does.
But when you say bra, I mean, what are you talking about?
Well, you're just wrangling.
Yeah.
But still, you know what?
It's like a saddle on a horse. I mean,
kicking
him
with your knees.
What about dating? You ever think about that? What's it like for Annie finding a man? What kind of man could she get, do you think?
Oh, you're asking the question? What kind of
man? What do you think?
None. Zero.
Could you imagine how few people would want to date somebody who has that going on?
I'd say none.
A man who is not afraid of being smothered.
Well, she did find a man. He seems very nice.
I'm Annie's boyfriend. I'm heading to her house for dinner and have some fun for the evening.
Garrett is very much a breast man. He loves breasts.
Thank God Garrett is a breast man, by the way. Otherwise, what if he's something? He's like, I don't really care about boobs so much, but she's got a nice ass.
When I first met Annie, I was thinking, well, those breasts are really big. But I wouldn't say that Annie's breasts are too much to handle.
How does it work for us?
Once you get it off of the shock and awe, it's just as normal as anyone else. Obviously, you have to be careful. For instance, if she's not at the edge of the bed. But you feel those things out.
He's going to feel those things out is what he's going to do.
He's going to die. He's going to be smothered within the month.
I can't imagine the logistics of trying to make that work,
Me
by the way.
Either.
It seems like it would be difficult. We're almost done. Here's Annie talking about the question she gets asked the most.
People ask me all the time, how can you have normal sex? And most men that deal with big women know how to handle you. He knows that I'm not going to push my breasts up to here to cut off my breathing.
Oh, wouldn't that be a terribly sad ending to the story? You push them in the wrong direction, they smother her. They crush her windpipe and she dies.
Woman killed by own boobs.
Because it's such a massive weight. And when you're doing a stationary position, your woman is supposed to be laying there.
Okay, I don't know that we have time to go on, but what's the stationary position? What's the stationary position? Help me out here.
The stationary position. Stationary, I'm guessing she just means she's not moving.
I think she means missionary.
I think that's what she means, too. I think that's what
I figured, too, but...
Apparently, there are some very real dangers.
Breast is pointing out to you that way, and mine's going this way, and you got to know how to maneuver them back this way.
I'm just saying it sounds like too much work. It just sounds like too difficult. Well, that is the beautiful Annie, who seems like a very nice lady. She seems like a very happy lady. Again, if you want to see her online, Norma Stitz, STITZ, is the name that she uses for the videos. But she seems very, very happy, and no way is she going to mess with what God gave her, Kevin. She's very happy with what the Lord.
No doubt on the world famous K Rock 106.7 KROQ. It is 25 minutes after 6. What about some new music, No Doubt? How about that? What, No Doubt?
That was
When's
Settle
it
Down.
Coming out?
No, no, that was it. That's the brand new song. That's their first song in 11 years called Settle Down from the album Push and Shove, coming out on September the 25th. So there you go. Back to back, new Green Day and new No Doubt for you here on the Kevin Bean Show. And if you like new music, stick around, because later on today, Alex Clare, who has that awesome new song out called Too Close, is going to be joining us for an interview and going to be performing in concert for us.
So we were at Comic-Con over the weekend, and the people, they do love to dress up.
Yeah.
Not all of them know why. It's really interesting to talk to people, because some of them just go, I don't know, I just had this in my closet. Other people have been hardcore fans of whatever cartoon it is or whatever, you know, thing, comic book it is for their entire lives. And some people just go, I like Star Wars. You know what I mean? It's just like there's no two people alike. So Psycho Mike and I took the camera out onto the floor at Comic-Con and talked to a bunch of different people, including this dude who was dressed as a character. You can see the video, by the way. You probably need to see the visual of the people that we're talking to at kevinandbean.com or krock.com. But this particular person was dressed as a character in a singing show. Okay? Hmm. So there's a singing, like, video game.
Oh, okay.
And one of the characters is who this person is dressed up as.
Jimmy, what are you dressed as?
Hatsune Miku.
And what is Hatsune Miku?
It's a singing program on the computer. Well, a character from it.
Being that it is a singing character, do you mind singing us a little song?
I'm not a singer.
Okay, now that's odd, right? He's not a singer.
I mean, it's an odd choice to begin with. It's really out of left field, and then he doesn't sing.
And then he doesn't sing.
So that's all good.
Why would you like that game if you don't sing? Why would you choose any of the characters from that game?
Yeah, it's a puzzle.
It's a puzzle. So but then he did say if we were to provide him with some beats, he could dance for us.
You want to provide some lasers and some music?
I'm sorry. Some lasers and music. Okay. What, do we have lasers with us?
What?
Does he have any idea how the world works? Yeah, we'll bring the lasers right on. No worries.
You want to provide some lasers and some music? I can dance.
Yeah, go. Okay. Come on. Yeah. Yeah. Put him on the glass.
Yeah. first of all, it was a dude, so we don't want to see him on the glass. Second of all, there's no glass around. We're in the middle of the floor of the convention center. So I'm not exactly sure what that meant. All right. Then we went to talk to Christine, Miss Double D.
There she was.
Oh, yeah.
Former Miss Double D. And she was working security at one of the booths there. And it kind of looked like we were... Our idea, of course, being us, is that we would interview her, but the camera would stay right on the boobs.
Mm-hmm.
That was the, you know...
It's good video for everyone.
Exactly. You turn down the audio. You don't even need to hear it. It's just the video. So she was getting in trouble. I think we were getting kicked out. But Psycho Mike is very, very laser focused on exactly what it is we want as somebody steps in front of the camera. Are you getting in trouble?
She's Lacey.
Her name is Lacey.
You're wrecking our flow, dude. I'm sorry. She's got huge cans.
The guy stepped right in front of our camera. Mike literally shoved him out of the way because, quote, she has huge cans.
So we are going to see Christine on the video, though, right?
I believe so, yes.
Okay, good.
Did you say she was working? Excuse me.
Yes, I did. Security.
Security.
Yeah.
That's how they were using her?
Well, you have to understand, everybody at Comic-Con that they use are models.
For everything.
For everything.
Because really, what kind of security, you know, geeks will stop when she goes stop.
It's not just her, though. It's a line of hot chicks that are standing there that are just supposed to basically stand in the way.
I see.
But it's
pretty clever.
Yeah, I mean, you might as well use a hot chick if it's going to work. So now we're talking to a dude who's dressed up as Robin. Now, I'm not a huge comic book fan. I'll be honest with you. Comic-Con was fascinating. I love that world because there's so many different people. Robin is a little pussy. Let's be honest.
Is this OG Robin?
Sort of. You can never tell with these people. You can never tell which Robin that they're excited about. But this guy is dressed up as Robin from Batman and Robin.
You fight crime on your own.
Yeah.
Batman.
Yeah. It's a good call. It's long been fabled that Robin was a closeted homosexual superhero. Do you feel like... does that represent you as a person as well?
Nah. I'm totally straight, man.
By the way...
Okay.
No, but seriously.
Yeah, seriously.
No, but seriously.
Yeah, seriously.
Do you get that chick in real life, like by dressing up?
Yeah. Of course. Robin always gets chicks.
Yeah, that's just not true.
Just tough to pull that one off.
You look at that guy.
Especially when you're wearing a mask and a cape.
Right. I mean, some people can pull it off. If you looked at a certain type of guy who's got that kind of confidence, he would go, yeah, I get chicks. The guy dressed up like Robin, not getting chicks at all. And you can also, again, you can see the video at kevinandbean.com or krock.com. And there's also going to be a photo gallery up. There's a photo of this person along with the video. This guy is dressed. He doesn't have a shirt on. And he's got this wild paint, just all different colors all over his front, his chest, and his back, and his head. He's bald, everything covered from head to toe with this wild coloring.
Are you able to score chicks with it like this?
Yes, harems. Harems full of chicks.
You've had harems of chicks? Do you paint your
Yes, I do. The chicks love the paint.
That's...
What is he?
I don't know. Lisa, not being a comic book fan, when you show up there... You see everybody, and you don't know who anyone is. Right. It's not like there's a lot of people dressing up like the main characters from big movies.
Mm-hmm.
It's all a little niche stuff. But this guy was just completely all colored, and you do have to see him. But I think if we take anything away from today's show.
Yes, I do. The chicks love the paint.
Chicks love the paint.
All right.
Recovering from a Comic-Con weekend, Kevin, did you and Dave make it to the Maxim party on Friday night?
We stopped by. I'm trying to remember Friday night. It's very blurry. Really?
everything's a blur from the whole weekend.
We went to the Walking Dead party. That was fun.
I bet that was cool.
And then I think, if I recall correctly, there was too long of a line, and we were like, screw this, let's just go someplace else.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. I think. Well, Dan Bova, who's the editor of Maxim magazine.
I mean, we went, and it was great.
Has their new summer issue out. We'll be talking to him coming up in about 20 minutes. Alex Clare performing live on the program later on today, and Attacked by Wild Animals. We'll tell you a terrible story about a woman who was taken down while jogging by a family of raccoons. It's going to make me start looking at raccoons a little differently. I'll tell you that.
Oh, they hate you, Bean. You know that. I've had a standoff with a raccoon.
First, though, it's so funny. We were just talking, or you were, over the weekend, talking to that guy who showed up dressed as Robin at Comic-Con. Now, Robin is one of those characters, let's face it, Batman and Robin has been around for decades and decades and decades, but Robin has really fallen out of favor in the movies. They made a lot of Batman movies, but they very rarely include Robin. I think the last one was when Chris O'Donnell played him in the George Clooney Batman movie back in the 90s, right?
He's sort of a lame hero, right? I mean, he's sort of just a secondary player at best.
Yeah. I mean, he's Batman's bitch is basically what he is.
Right.
So I guess if you want to make a big scary Batman like the kind that Christian Bale plays, you don't really want to have a teenager running along behind him trying to keep up. You just decide to jettison that character. But somebody has put together a video in honor of the Dark Knight movie that's coming out on Friday. And it's very current. They've got a guy who's playing Christian Bale's Batman. Then they've got a guy who's playing Tom Hardy's Bane, who's the big villain in this new Dark Knight episode that comes out on Friday. And they have also inserted 1960s Robin from the Batman and Robin TV show.
Now, that's the part that I love. They didn't update him at all. Poor little 60s Robin is really just a twink, let's be honest. he's really lame compared to these two characters. And so we put the video up at kevinandbean.com or krock.com. There's a lot of stuff up there today that you're going to want to check out. But this is one of them, the Dark Knight and 60s Robin.
Hello, Batman.
It ends now, Bane.
It does. Soon your precious Gotham will be in ashes, as will you.
Holy showdown, Batman.
What the f***?
Good thing I caught up with you. I kept yelling at you to slow down because my slipper fell off. I guess you didn't hear me.
I told you to stay in the car.
I'm glad he's here. I'm going to enjoy ripping out his spine.
Holy mumble mouth, Batman.
Those of you that didn't watch the 60s show, that was his thing. That's all he could do was say holy whatever.
Yep.
That was his whole power. He couldn't fight. He couldn't do anything.
Somebody's got a mouthful of marbles. What's the matter, Bane? Bat got your tongue? You might be laughing now, you scoundrel. But wait until I unleash my flim-flam.
Your what?
These! Flim-flam!
Go sit in the Batmobile and wait there.
Oh, I got you, Batman. The old sit-and-wait. All part of the plan.
Batman's trying so hard just to get him out of there and go sit in the car and wait.
His parents were killed. They were trapeze artists.
That explains a lot.
I know.
Prepare to die!
Batman, quick! I need the keys to the Batmobile. We're parked in a red zone.
So?
Holy meter maid, Batman! That's like a $90 ticket!
The cops don't ticket the Batmobile. Plus, I'm a billionaire.
Gee willikers, Batman. Somebody certainly woke up on the wrong side of the Batcave this morning.
Get out!
All right already.
Say goodbye to your life.
Triple Soul Cow! Before you mess with Batman, you gotta get through all 109 pounds of meat!
And it goes on for about another 5 minutes, but if you'd like to see that, it's very funny. It's at kevinandbean.com, krock.com, and it is Batman and Bane from the new movie, and then 1960s Robin, who's doesn't hold up well.
This is the morning of new music here on K-Rock. Got brand new Green Day for you today. We got brand new No Doubt for you today. We'll play both of those again for you later coming up. Plus, Alex Clare will be here to perform live. Plus, we'll hook you up with your first chance to win for destination number 3 of the K-Rock World Tour 2012. You ultimately could end up going to Lollapalooza in Chicago. You win Black Keys tickets at Staples Center to qualify. Pretty good deal, right?
It is.
Right now, though, Kevin and Bean filling in for Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat. We'll start off with the movies at the box office over the weekend. I actually went to the movies this weekend, by the way.
What?
And I know how shocking that is that
That's
I actually left out.
You never go.
Ice Age 4 was number one. $46 million at the box office this weekend.
How was it?
Oh. Did not see that. That was not mine. Amazing Spider-Man came in at number two with $35 million. That one is hanging on. Also, Ted at $22 million at number three. Then Brave, Lisa May's Magic Mike at number five. Savages, Tyler Perry's Medea's Witness Protection, Katy Perry's Part of Me movie at 8, Madagascar 3 at 9, and then the film that I saw, which was Moonrise Kingdom, Wes Anderson movie at number 10, which is just a wonderful little film, by the way. I love Wes Anderson so much because he creates his own universe where people all act in a certain way.
Yeah.
And which it's not realistic.
It's not ours, right, but you buy it.
Yeah. You buy it because it's fun and it's just so beautifully written and well acted and a lot of tremendous performances in it. Really, really good time.
How many times have we heard this exact same story, which is that Ashton Kutcher and Demi Moore may not be done yet?
What's going on now?
Hey, I thought he cheated on her and she kicked him out and that was it.
According to the National Enquirer, they have started going to Kabbalah counseling sessions.
I thought they tried that already once.
Talking on the phone. No, I'm saying this story has been rehashed 100 million times, except for the end of it. Talking on the phone constantly and enjoying the physical benefits of still being married. Now, I can see going for that.
Sure.
If you're Ashton Kutcher, right?
Yes.
Because that's really probably the best part of her. There's only one problem with reconciliation. Her name is Mila Kunis. Apparently, Ashton wants to stay friends with his new companion and doesn't exactly know how to do that.
Mm. Wait, I'm sorry. I'm not following you. You mean Mila Kunis, who's doesn't want him to still be seeing his ex-wife Demi Moore?
Well, I think it doesn't spell out exactly what's going on. Uh-huh. But all I wanted to say is if there's any type of choice to be made here, between Demi Moore and Mila Kunis.
Right.
You'd go a certain way.
You go Mila.
I see. Okay.
I mean, do I have to say that? Or because it seems like he's having trouble picking.
Yeah.
And to me, that's not a choice.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he might have a relationship with Demi Moore. He was married
to
her for a long
Mila
time.
She's Mila Kunis.
Well, there's that, I guess.
You're missing that point.
Here's a story I wish our friend Brad Williams was in for. He would appreciate midget actor Nicholas Reed in the news. He's a 41-year-old dwarf. He played one of the goblins in the Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone movie, but he's been a working actor for a long time. In fact, all the way back to he was an Ewok in Return of the Jedi.
Oh, okay.
This guy's been working for a long time. Well, he's in the news because for the second time, he has been arrested for exposing himself to passengers on a train. He did it once before back in 2010, did not go to jail this time. This time, the judge said, even though you are in violation of your parole,
no one can see it.
I recognize you would be a very vulnerable person in prison, so I am going to suspend this sentence as long as you keep going to the sex offenders treatment program and never get in any trouble again. But I'm telling you, I will send you to prison if you commit another offense. It is inevitable. Nothing can save you. This is your last warning. So this judge is doing everything he can to say, look, you do not want to be a dwarf who exposes himself and then ends up going to prison.
I like that the dwarf needs to be told that, too.
Yes.
Don't you think like that would be your nightmare?
Yes.
I think this is an uncontrollable urge, and he is absolutely going to end up in jail.
Oh, man, is he going to get passed around like a party favor?
Oh.
Yeah, that's not good.
Oh, my God, is it really that big?
No, it's not.
And I don't know that it gets you out of prison rate by going, but I was an Ewok. I don't know that defense is going to help either.
It may hurt. May make it worse.
Very sad story. And this can't be true. This has to be just let's keep American Idol in the news and not deny any of the rumors going around on who might be the next judge because, you know, they got some chairs to fill. They got Steven Tyler's out. Jennifer Lopez is out. Rumors are that Randy Jackson may also be gone. We don't know that for sure yet. Mariah Carey is one of the names that has been rumored very seriously over the weekend. Miley Cyrus is another. Friday, we talked about Adam Lambert and Fergie of the Black Eyed Peas also being named as potential judges. But the latest is Aretha Franklin. There's no way in a million years that anybody wants to see Aretha Franklin on their TV every week as an American Idol judge. For starters, she's like 75 years old, right?
Yeah, well, they're not trying to appeal to that group.
That's for starters. Right. And I'm not sure that even that is going to stand out as much as... Who is that giant fat woman?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, look, believe me, she may be the greatest R&B singer of all time. She's one of the greatest musical acts of all time. She's a legend. But a long time ago.
A long time ago.
Yeah. And I don't think necessarily that I want to trust a 75-year-old woman's ears to be able to pick something that is contemporary and interesting to people now either. Just I don't think that's a good match at all. But they're not denying it so far, like I said. And that's why I think they're just happy people are talking about American Idol again.
Just say any name and they'll go, maybe. It's possible. That could be. AMC has given a start date for its popular zombie series, The Walking Dead. We were trying to find out over the weekend, and we kept running into problems with people who thought, oh, it's going to be September, it's going to be October, oh, nobody knows. The third season is going to debut October 14th. They have 16 episodes that they're working on, and we've told you this before. Unfortunately, it's 8.
Oh, they're breaking it up?
And then they're breaking it up, and then next year it's another 8.
That's brutal.
Yeah. So that kind of sucks.
Yeah, it does.
But we ran into Robert Kirkman over the weekend, and he's just having the best time. I said, how different is this Comic-Con from your first Comic-Con? And he said, it couldn't be more different.
It's almost time. He's the king of the con now.
He is.
And speaking of Comic-Con, I'll close with this because there was a lot of great Marvel Comics news. I'm sad that Ralph is not here today because he would really enjoy being able to talk about this. Marvel's panels unveiled all sorts of new information. First of all, they came out and thanked the fans around the world for making the Avengers the biggest superhero movie of all time. The president of Marvel Studios was there. He also announced that the sequels to Thor and Captain America will be called Thor: The Dark World. And that one's coming out November of 2013, Kevin, if you want to mark that on your calendar.
Hold on. November 2013.
November 8th. 2013 is when the new Thor movie comes out.
I'm busy. Shoot.
How are you looking? Check your calendar for April 4th, 2014. That's when Captain America the Winter Soldier will be released. 2014 they're talking about.
I'm checking.
You're still checking?
I got something the day before, but I'm all right.
They also confirmed that Marvel is working on a Guardians of the Galaxy movie that will be out in August of 2014. Now, this is a film that centers on an Avengers-like team of superheroes that includes characters like Rocket Raccoon, who's a gun-toting animal crime fighter, and Drax the Destroyer, also going to be part of that.
Gun-toting animal crime fighter.
Yes. So this is the alternate Avengers, I guess. It's a new group of superheroes. Also, as we told you last hour, filmmaker Edgar Wright announced the Ant-Man film. That is no casting has been done yet, but apparently that will be shot and will be coming out. And Iron Man 3 is what everybody was talking about. He was not scheduled to appear, but Robert Downey Jr. surprised the crowd. He, of course, is going to be back as Tony Stark. Ben Kingsley is going to be playing the villain in the new Iron Man 3 movie. He is going to be the Mandarin. That's going to be the villain this time around, as we had supposed. Guy Pearce, Rebecca Gohal, also in her as a scientist. You know, Jon Favreau is not directing this Iron Man. Shane Black is going to be directing it, but Jon Favreau was there. And the footage that they showed apparently was just incredible. They're about halfway through filming that. I mean, Marvel is just, they're doing everything right now. All of these movies are coming out. They're all working. And people are just eating it up. So it looks like there's a lot more in the pipeline.
They're putting
still
it on days in the future when I am not available, though, Bean. It makes me very angry. Celebrity birthday drummer Stuart Copeland of The Police is 60 years old. Michael Flatley, Lord of the Dance. If you don't know who that is, just count your blessings and move on with your day. Actress Phoebe Cates is 49. Corey Feldman is 41 years old. The dude from Live, Ed Kowalczyk. Am I saying that right?
Yeah.
Yes. Singer, guitarist, 41 years old. Chris Pontius is 38. Anna Lynn McCord, 25 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And our man, Will Ferrell, is 45 years old.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind? That just happened.
That's the showbiz.
That is the first song from their first album coming out later this year of three. This one is called Uno. It'll be in stores on September the 25th. And again, that one's called Oh Love. We got new No Doubt for you next hour as well. And Alex Clare is over here from England. He's going to be stopping by to talk to us and perform live coming up on the Kevin Bean Show as well. It's Monday. New issue of Maxim on newsstands now. Always great to catch up with the editor-in-chief of Maxim magazine, Dan Bova, who joins us on the phone right now. Hey, Dan. How are you, man?
Hey, what's happening?
Were you at Comic-Con? Were you at that big Maxim party Friday night?
I was not. I was there 2 years ago, and I was banned for wearing my Wonder Woman costume.
So, oh, that's too bad.
I've been allowed back.
That's too bad.
Well, you missed
it. Go?
Yeah. Yes. We go every year.
And how are you feeling? You sound a little road weary.
A bit. Just a little
You're
bit.
Very kind to only call it road weary, Dan. We appreciate that.
A little bit.
The new issue, the summer issue of Maxim is out, and once again, you've outdone yourself. Let's start with talking about Jessica Biel and Kate Beckinsale. Forget the fact that Colin Farrell's also in the photo, but together
right.
in Total Recall, and you've got them together in the magazine being interviewed and in photo spreads. That's got to be the Maxim editor's dream to have Jessica and Kate together, right?
Yes. Well, the actual dream would be me in Colin Farrell's spot, but it was pretty amazing. We just couldn't believe it was happening. We couldn't believe it happened. We couldn't believe they're in our magazine, and we're just thrilled. And am I dreaming right now? Is this really happening?
This
am
is happening. Unfortunately, this is happening.
Oh,
how
yeah.
much of the movie have you seen, if any at all, Dan? Because it looks incredible in the trailers
yeah,
that
it,
I've seen.
It does look great. I've seen a big chunks of it. Our editor who interviewed the crew saw it and said it's really awesome.
Yeah.
They said it takes the Arnie version and just amps it up, and the three-breasted hooker is in it. So
all right.
Fantastic.
Now, Dan, let me ask you this question. So somebody else did the interview for Jessica Biel and Kate Beckinsale?
Again, it's the Wonder Woman costume. That thing's been haunting
no,
me.
No,
I'm not
What's
allowed.
The point
There's
of
no
being the editor-in-chief? What's the point of having your job if you don't get to decide who gets to do
that's
these interviews?
My point. That's where you pull rank and go, who's the editor, mother effer? Come on!
I live to go through transcripts and pull out quotes and tweak words.
You're
that's my passion, guy.
You are a bad, bad man.
Yeah, you're wasting your job, that's for sure.
I
right.
know. I am kicking myself for every time I look at these pictures. I'm like, moron.
Yeah.
Let's
moron.
Talk about the Olympics because you've got a nice spread in this Maxim. The hype begins, by the way, as the Olympics are on in, what, 2 weeks or something like that. You have a quote in the magazine. I know you didn't make it up, but the estimated number of people who will watch the 2012 opening Olympic ceremony is 4 billion people, according to someone. There can't be 4 billion people on the earth who have access to a television. Can there, Dan?
You read it in Maxim magazine, right?
Right.
So it's true. Of course it's
That's
true.
Not possible.
We personally contacted all 4 billion people.
Wow.
And we sent the survey, will you watch it, yes or no?
That sounds, well, sounds a little high, but it sounds like you have proof, so okay.
Can't argue with that.
Beautiful.
The reason I was excited to see you guys tackling is because this is the primer that I've been looking for, which is how about in the sports I don't care about, should I watch anyway because there are some unbelievably hot athletes? What'd you come
yes.
up with in terms of what you call golden girls this year?
I think the golden standard of this list is a lot of beautiful women, but if you've never watched the javelin contest, which I'm sure you haven't.
That is correct.
You've got to watch Lauren Franco. She is unbelievably hot. She has competed before. She's never medaled, but I don't care. You got to see this picture. It's she's just unbelievably hot, and she's throwing a dangerous weapon. It just it all adds up.
All of a sudden, I'm searching my DVR for that sport, which I've never watched before in my
javelin.
Entire. And she's from Paraguay too, right? She's not even from the United States, but
no,
who cares?
No. U.S. Shmuas.
That's what.
we do have some gorgeous U.S. Athletes as well, like Lolo Jones, of course, Alex Morgan from the soccer team, Hope Solo, who actually one of our editors competed with in some physical challenges and was obviously destroyed.
Hope Solo, for those of you who don't know, may be the best goalkeeper in the world for women's team and is on the U.S. women's team and is smoking hot.
She's great. Yeah. And by the way, she's in the news this week. She's been doing some interviews, Dan, and including in your magazine, where she talks about how the athlete's village at the Olympics,
yeah,
goes off with hardcore partying and lots of hooking up. And she talked about how she did interviews last year drunk, yeah, after being after partying all night at the Athletes Village. And Vince Vaughn was in there and just all sorts of crap. I love her because she's not like trying to keep the image up. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
she's just,
yeah,
she's, well, just letting, I mean, her freak flag fly.
Well, think about that village. You've got all these, like, incredible physical specimens, and they did their event, and now they got, like, 2 weeks left to kill. So
yeah,
what else are you going to do in the village? Go watch swimming, or are you going to get your freak on?
You're going to watch swimmers.
With nothing but unbelievably, you know, people who are in an unbelievable condition who also have been not having sex while they've been training for the last 2 weeks.
Right. So, who really know how to throw a javelin.
Yes, they
exactly
know.
Exactly.
So. Speak.
And that is a euphemism. All right, I want to ask you about one more thing, and I know you've got more at the website at Maxim.com, but you have the first part of your interview with Seth MacFarlane, which, of course, I'm sure, Dan, is an interview that you also didn't do, right?
No, of course not.
You are letting us down. You are really, you're a failure, sir.
I love reading interviews with Seth because he's, A, so funny, and B, so candid. It's so interesting to hear him talk about some of the stuff in this.
Yeah, he's very, very open about it. You know, there's a lot of talk about how the guys at South Park kind of give him some guff. That's a word we could use.
Sure.
And
the 1960s will ask for it back, but go ahead.
Yeah. But he's very open about stuff like that. He's open about, you know, celebrities who haven't been so thrilled to be mocked on his show. It's a very fun interview. He's really cool. And like you said, we have more of it on the website. And I don't think we have him having sex with Ted, but we might.
I'm sorry, are we talking about Seth MacFarlane or Janina Gavankar? From,
either way,
True Blood.
Either way, that Ted,
it sounded
around
to me like we were talking about Seth MacFarlane while Janina Gavankar was in your episode from True Blood, posing.
Yes, yes, she is a shapeshifter on that show.
Yes, she is.
She is shifting my shape right now as I'm looking at this photo.
She has incredible powers. That is
yes,
true.
Yes, she does.
The Maxim Summer Issue is available on newsstands now, and of course, more at Maxim.com. You guys continue to do the Lord's work. Dan Bova is the editor-in-chief. Always great to have you on, man. Thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, great. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you. Just announced this morning, stop number 3 of K-Rock's Road Trip USA 2012. This time we're giving away tickets to go see the Black Keys at Staples Center. They're playing there on October the 6th, and then you win those and you're qualified to see them again, this time in Lollapalooza in Chicago, which, as you know, Kevin, is a great time every year.
Yeah, it's fun.
Your chance to win coming up. We've got details at K-Rock.com. This story chilled me to the bone a little bit because a woman was attacked by a family of raccoons. Now, I don't know what your guys' experience is with raccoons, but to me, I've never viewed them as a threat. To me, they're a pest, but they run away pretty much if they see you. It doesn't seem like they're that dangerous to me. And I know that physically they're very powerful. I know that raccoons have, you know, they can bite and they can claw, and I know that they can do some damage, but it's, I don't feel like I've ever been in a situation where we were going to throw down. How about you, Kevin? What's your take?
I just had a standoff with one that was standing behind my car, would not let me come to work one morning. Literally just sitting there, and I was throwing stuff at it, didn't care. Just,
it wouldn't move?
Huh. And then I finally got it to go because I'm such an imposing character, nobody would ever want to mess with this, right?
Were you ever afraid that he might jump you?
No, I don't see them as jumpers.
Like there were other raccoons hiding and they were all just going to gang up on you?
He was luring me into the raccoon trap.
Exactly.
Well, let me tell you the story and then we're going to take your calls. And I know, you know, we say this all the time, but this may be the call, the topic that we don't get calls on. I don't know how many of our listeners have been attacked by wild animals, but that's what we're looking for right now. And a toll-free number, 1-800-520-1067. So we are not looking for you were attacked by a dog or a cat, right? We're looking for wild animals.
What if they just chase you?
Well,
chase,
I think that's
fine.
A good one. Chase
too.
Is okay.
You don't actually have to be bitten or anything, right?
Well, no, but
I'm threatened.
But I'd like to hear some bites.
Okay.
Come on now.
Here's Makayla Lee. She is 28 years old. She lives in Washington State, and she's out for a jog with her dog on this past Monday. And apparently her dog heard some raccoons in the woods and went in to chase them. Makayla then went in to try to retrieve her dog, to call her dog back from bothering the raccoons.
See, she's never served overseas. She would know that's an ambush. Just waiting to happen.
So the dog turns and starts running toward Makayla, and the raccoons do too, and they jump on her. knock her to the ground, she is left with more than 100 cuts and scratches and 16 puncture wounds. They effed her up.
Those raccoons mean business. They hated her.
Can you imagine what's going through your head when you see the raccoons running toward you instead of away from you? And then the next thing you know, they're under your feet. They're knocking you down. And then they're on you. They're on your face. They're on your neck. They're on your arms. Can you imagine what's going through your mind?
The only thought would be going through my mind would be, I never, in all of my scenarios where I die, this is not one of them.
Right? Exactly. I'm 28 years old, and I never thought it would be death by raccoon.
Wow.
I was trying to run for the neighbor's front door, but the raccoons were between my legs, and they tripped me. I fell to the ground, and they were on me. Her six-year-old dog apparently managed to chase the raccoons off by getting in there, being part of the fight, and also barking at them and snarling at them and everything like that. So eventually they did leave her alone as neighbors called 911.
And then the dog bit her owner as well, and she's like, what are you doing?
This is all the dog's fault. If he hadn't run into the woods, she'd be fine.
The dog
dog saved her too, though.
But set her up for the ambush.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, follow me, owner.
She has to have antibiotics injected directly into each puncture and wound in her arm and leg.
Ouch.
She requires staples for some of the more serious ones. She also is going to have to get rabies shots as a precaution.
And those are supposed to be super painful as well.
Says she plans to carry pepper spray when she walks the trail in the future, but she has no hard feelings toward the raccoons. I feel for them a bit, she said. I mean, they're running out of places to live, and they're in our backyard, but I'd prefer not to see them again.
She's dumb if she has no hard feelings toward the raccoons.
But they did invade their territory.
Right.
I mean, maybe they had little baby raccoons.
But
they were trying to
protect her face. She wasn't going for the little baby raccoons.
But they didn't know.
They were just
it. The relationship between me and raccoons is over once you start scratching my face.
Some of these bites, though, I mean, some of these pictures, oh, my God. I mean, she really got mauled. I mean, this was not like one raccoon nipped at her. This was five of them on her and everybody just biting everything they got. I mean, I'm not joking. Since I read this story last week, I saw a family of raccoons cross the road. And I thought a little differently about how I was going to approach that situation.
Because they're badasses. You didn't know that.
I didn't know that at all. So we want to take some calls. 1-800-520-1067. Let's take one before the break, and that's going to be our man Tom. He is on line one. We want to hear from you if you have been attacked by wild animals. Whatever the wild animal is that attacked you, we want you to call us.
Especially if you died, we want you to call us.
Well, I don't know how
that
works.
Is that not possible? But... Hey, Tom.
Hey, guys. Hey, Lisa.
Hi, Tom.
Hey, I was working for a studio back in 2001. I was transporting a raccoon and its handler back to the airport.
Mm-hmm.
At the terminal, the raccoon got out of the cage for a minute, and I was holding the cage, and it basically chewed up my left thumb and took a chunk out of my left hand.
All right.
Dude.
And this is a trained raccoon.
Yeah, and the handler was trying to give it some water before the trip, and it felt weird. It felt like, you know, like a little like a chewing sensation, but then when I noticed it, he split my thumbnail all the way down to the base.
Oh, ouch, ouch, ouch.
Now, do we have any way to know what it was so upset about?
It was just angry. It was very, you know, temperamental for some reason. It didn't like my thumb or something, or it didn't like Mexicans. I don't know.
Maybe it knew that it wasn't going to be put below the plane, didn't have a seat. It was very upset. Wanted business class.
Yeah, the doctor at the emergency room said, you're serious. You got chewed up by a raccoon.
Yeah, that's a pretty strange thing to say.
Did you have to get rabies shots also?
Yes, I did, and I still have, there's still remains of a couple of bite marks from the raccoon on my hand. So
that's strong.
Every day I just take a look. It's like, yeah, I hate raccoons.
No, but that's strong because people go, hey, what's that? You go, raccoon fight.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Thank you, Tom. We appreciate the call. 1-800-520-1067. Dave, you hang on. We want to hear about it.
All right, there.
What's happening? What's going on?
I was just being wrestling my headphones to the ground.
And they attacked you.
And they won. It's World Famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 7:38, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show.
Speaking of being attacked, we're talking about this woman in Washington, 28-year-old woman, very attractive. That upsets me. Attacked by a family of raccoons, knocked to the ground, bitten, and just torn to shreds. And I hadn't thought of raccoons in that way, but I guess this happens. I mean, I guess this is proof that they're wild animals, too. And we're looking for your phone calls at 1-800-520-1067. You were attacked by a wild animal. Let's go to Dave first. He's been on hold a while talking about a bobcat. Dave, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What happened with you and this bobcat, man?
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Well, I was working, I worked ground search and rescue, and we were looking for somebody, and then we come across the bobcat's cubs.
Ooh.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. So, and unfortunately, that mama bobcat was nearby, and that thing wanted to, was intent on killing us.
So what happened? I mean, did this did the animal jump on you or just snarl and you guys ran like little girls, or what was the story?
What happened is, like, you know, most of us are seasoned, but we had a new guy with us. So I come across animals before, and we all know what to do, but he actually tried to sprint off when that thing came, and we, like, grabbed him by collar and threw him down. That was the bobcat wanted to lunge at us because he made that sudden movement.
Oh, really?
Don't you? How'd you get away?
If he's the new guy and he's running, don't you just let the bobcat take him down?
You know, I wish.
Because you're safe?
It's more paperwork for me if I let him live.
Paperwork.
I let him die, I mean.
So how do you get away? How do you gently extricate yourself from a bobcat attack?
Honestly, all of us, like, you know, we picked him back up and we slowly backed off from that nest, and that thing followed us for about 100 meters or so. We had, like, I had my rescue axe in my hand ready, like, to chop that thing's head off if it came at us.
Right.
And, you know, we're just slowly backing up. We put all of our whistles in our mouth, so we're just going to make ourselves look so we can try to scare it. But that thing just kept advancing on us, and then eventually we got far enough from its cubs where it was like, all right, it's going to leave us alone.
But did it ever take one of its front paws and go point at its eyes in your eyes and go, watching you? Got my eyes on you.
Yeah, its eyes exactly said that.
That's awesome. Thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it, Dave. Kevin, you've been to Africa. Don't people get eaten by lions all the time?
Yeah, not lions as much as, what was the number one killer?
Hippos,
right? Hippos are the number one killer. They just run over people.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hippos, if you could imagine. Lions just eat and then they sleep for like 21 hours.
Andy was a pool man. Let's find out what kind of animal he came in contact with that caused great danger.
Hi, Andy.
Thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. Oh, see what you did there?
Hey, thanks. Hey, Andy. Hello, Andy.
Yeah, hello.
Hi.
Hey, good morning, guys. Good morning, Lisa.
Hi. Tell us what happened to you.
Well, I was a pool man about 5 or 6 years ago, and I had longer hair, and there were some crows hanging out in the backyard making a bunch of noise. Before I knew it, I had worked my way to a corner where apparently they had a nest in a tree above it, and I didn't know. And they started dive bombing my head, and my new concern became, hey, there's a crow stuck in my hair, you know. I fell in the pool, of course, trying to battle it, but, you know.
A crow's nest, and they started attacking, literally like trying to peck you to death?
Yeah, they were flying circles and dive bombing me, you know. So one of them got stuck in my hair, and I wasn't afraid at first, but all that goes out the window once one of them's tangled
up
in your hair.
Of course, anything's tangled in your hair, man, that's bad news.
Yeah, I think the pool's a good idea.
You know, Corolla has been saying for years that his plan for worldwide domination is to figure out a way to train a murder of crows to be like his personal army. And he says there's nothing you can't do if you've got crows at your command, because they are nasty and they are mean and they are strong and they are fast and they're very imposing. We're lucky that they haven't decided to attack the rest of us, to be honest.
Well, you know what? Every time he's on your show, you guys convince me more and more that he's a genius.
Yep. Well, you learned firsthand. Don't mess with crows. Thanks for the call, Andy. Appreciate that. Let's go to Will now. Will also attacked from the skies. Hey, Will, thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What happened?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hi.
Well, I was up camping one time, and I was cooking some hamburgers, and these two hawks just rocked my head, man. They just came down and swooped on me.
Two hawks.
Came right down
at you and pecked at your head first thing?
First thing.
Wow.
And do you think it's because they wanted to get to your hamburger? Is that why?
I don't know. I was at the hospital, and I was like, hey, why do you think this happened? And the doctor said, well, it's probably because you smell like acorns with doo-doo on it.
I know you're proud, but seriously,
no.
Not impressive. Not impressive.
Good day, man. I am impressed by him.
Really?
I like that call.
I think if you're clowning us, you got to do it up front. I don't think you get 3 minutes into a conversation and then go,
better.
Oh, by the way.
No, that's even better, because we're all asking him follow-up questions and stuff. Come on.
Yeah. Now, this judge is holding up a 5 right now. I'm sorry.
I'm giving him a 9. Good work.
Alex Clare is here. We'll be interviewing him, and he will be performing live for us next half hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. Plus, if you missed it, we got the brand new No Doubt song. We're going to be playing that coming up in just a few, too. Plus, our old friend Psycho Mike, ladies and gentlemen, is here. Psycho Mike Catherwood joins us, filling in for Ralph Garman and the Showbiz Beat, and that's coming up next here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Coming up next here on the Kevin and Bean Show, how about brand new No Doubt? The song is called Settle Down. It's their first new song in 11 years, believe it or not. The album will be called Push and Shove, out on September the 25th. I'd be interested to hear what you think about the song. Go on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page and let us know what you think. We're going to be playing it coming up right after the news. Is that Psycho Mike? Mike Catherwood joining us in studio?
Oh, hello, everybody. Hello, everybody. All right.
Hey, Psycho Mike.
Let's do some radio, pal. Good times. Radio in the morning.
Mike, of course, is the Loveline lover boy, co-host of Loveline with Dr. Drew, 5 nights a week here on K-Rock. You just got back from a big weekend at Comic-Con. You and Kevin were hanging out, torturing people. We have that video up at K-Rock.com as well.
That was a lot of fun. Got that video up where we're mocking people on the floor of the Comic-Con, and I have a photo gallery up as well of all the nuttiness. That's a crazy weekend, I'll tell you.
Kevin and I competed in the Hmong Olympics.
We did, and I lost, and you won big.
Kicked out a security guard because I was hard at work. It was a real party for us, Kevin.
It really was.
Well, it's good to see you, Mike, and we appreciate you stopping by. Ralph is taking a few days off here, well-earned vacation. You are filling in for him this hour on the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Well, speaking of Comic-Con, the queen of all the nerds and nerd culture, Miss Olivia Munn. Where's that bell? Oh, yeah. She looked hotter than she's ever looked on Leno the other night.
I think she turns that up somehow every time now.
Yeah, I mean, she's like right in my wheelhouse. So, I mean, she does special things to me. I wanted to attack my television like a pack of raccoons,
right?
when I saw her on Leno the other night. But she admitted to all the guys out there who are gearheads like me, she admitted something that blew my mind. She has a BMW 1200R motorcycle, which is like a really high-end motorcycle, and a very powerful one for a small, dainty lady like hers.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And she likes it. She's a little scared by it. She only drives it around between 2 and 4 a.m., which she told Jay. But the reason she has it is because she took it back from an ex-boyfriend who she bought it for.
Really?
Yeah. And I'm thinking to myself, first off, she's half Asian, which puts her atop all other women.
Those are the best women in the world, right?
Yeah. She's the bomb. She's beautiful, and she's super rich and works crazy amount of hours, so you don't really have to see her at all.
Okay.
And also, she buys you motorcycles. I'm thinking to myself,
but then when you break up, she takes it back.
Yeah, that's awfully trash. That's like an OC Hooters girl thing to do.
My understanding, by the way, not to, you know, burst your bubble here, is that he gave it back after they broke up. He didn't feel comfortable keeping it because it was a gift from her, and he said, I'm not going to keep this because now we're not together anymore.
That's so bitch made. If you're buying me motorcycles,
I'm keeping
that's
it.
Mine.
That's a crazy expensive gift to give a boy you're dating, though, isn't it?
I agree, but first off, Olivia Munn's got Gorilla Scratch paper for days. I mean, she's stacking chips like no tomorrow.
Right.
So really, it's a drop in the bucket. If the new ethic is to give back expensive gifts, I'd like my wedding ring back. If my ex-wife is listening.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, fair enough.
Yeah, she's a good deal. Have you been watching her on the newsroom?
No.
Yes.
I haven't watched newsroom.
The newsroom, last night's episode was set on New Year's Eve, and she was wearing a cocktail party dress at a party. And you're right. She is turning it up these days. She looked amazing.
Yeah, the Munster's on fire.
I was watching Breaking Bad, and Walter is not looking good.
No. Just,
that's my input for this conversation.
But I think Bryan Cranston is looking good, but they're trying to really push that whole dying of cancer thing.
they kind of forgot that for a while.
Yeah, let's not forget that it's not just about meth, it's about he's going to die.
Yeah.
Speaking of super rich people, Kanye West and Miss Kim Kardashian, you know, they're a big it couple. Kanye has really pulled the wool over Miss Kardashian's eyes here, because it says Us Weekly is reporting that he bought a whole separate new cell phone specifically for use with her. And she believes, yes, according to the story, it's because he just talks to her so much and he's so in love with her that he needs his own special cell phone just for her. Newsflash, Kardashian, okay? That means he's having sex with other girls. That's the only reason guys buy other cell phones, okay? Unless you're a surgeon on call or you're in the DEA and you need a reason to get through to work and that no one else can hear about, you don't have other cell phones, okay? Other cell phones means, baby, this one is for you because the other cell phone is for the 80 other girls that I'm rifling through.
And he's Kanye, so let's be honest.
He's Kanye.
Come on.
Okay?
Yeah, you're
your
right.
Chick, she's so thirsty. All right. Demi Moore, Ashton Kutcher, right?
Yes.
Big blow up last year. You know, he found out she was cheating on her, and she has extra skin on her knees. I don't know if anybody noticed that.
I haven't.
She has drapery on her knees that just kind of falls over. They're going into counseling, though. According to the National Enquirer, they've been seeing a Kabbalah counselor. Sessions every week, talking on the phone and in person.
The story comes up about every 2 weeks, and I don't know if it's really happening in real life in every 2 weeks or it just gets reported that way, but it does keep coming back up to the top.
Yeah.
Somebody keeps reporting it.
And I hope that that's true, because I can't live in a world where Ashton Kutcher has Mila Kunis.
Yeah, that's true. I was saying before, if you have that choice, though, if you're Ashton and you have that choice,
yeah,
you go straight Mila.
Oh, yeah, you do.
In a heart.
But, man, like, there needs to be certain laws of the world to just for us to exist and everything to be comfortable. Lisa, mate, let me put it in.
It's balance.
Okay. Mila Kunis,
put it in my terms.
The top of my list of, like, celebrities that I want for my own. Not only because she's unbelievably beautiful, but she seems to be self-deprecating, very
she's
self-aware.
Cool chick.
She's very talented.
Very cool chick.
She's
very
Meg
funny.
On the Family Guy, for Christ's sake. So, right. I mean, she's just got everything. I'll accept that I can't have Mila Kunis because she's dating Tom Hardy. I'll accept I can't have Mila Kunis because she's dating Clunedog. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
I cannot live in the world where Kutcher is taking my lady, okay? Ashton Kutcher does not have the ability to gank hoes from me. That doesn't work like that, okay? It'd be like, Lisa, who's the it guy for you? Like, who's
I love Brad Pitt.
Okay. Brad Pitt, he's your man. And in your wildest dreams, you and Brad Pitt live on an island and you make sweet love all day and he lavishes you with gifts and
I
romance.
I dream that every night.
Mm-hmm. In reality, he's going home to have sex with Precious. Okay, imagine that.
You're going to compare Demi Moore to Precious.
Whoa, yes!
You're comparing Ashton
compared
Kutcher.
He's
male
Precious.
More charm than you realize. And he's very successful.
But Mila's way too hot for him no matter what.
He's not hard on the eyes.
He's a handsome man.
He kind of is.
But he's a douchebag.
There's been a time and a place where on television he's worn his hat sideways.
Well, that is true.
And he's so extreme on the things that he does, Lisa, that he punches the camera.
It's annoying.
When he's about to punk people, he does, ooh, bam, I just did a right cross of the camera because I'm in your face.
That's good.
He's a douche.
You can't defend that. You're right.
You sound like an unbelievable douche.
In the stories of must come from fantasy land to perpetuate stereotypes, Flavor Flav hijacked a plane to talk about fried chicken.
All right, hold on a second. He didn't really hijack a plane as much as he did the speaker.
No, I heard box the cutters got to the front of it. He did. He said, I'm taking this sucker down.
I think he just took over the sound system.
Okay. Flavor Flav apparently owns a fried chicken restaurant in Las Vegas, and he wants to use this.
So he was promoting it on the plane?
I believe we actually have some audio for this story. Go ahead, Kevin.
This
play
is
that.
Real.
Hey, yo, check this out. Also, just to let y'all know that I do have a restaurant. It's called Flavor Flav House of Flavor. It's on President Island Parkway. It's a takeout restaurant only. Fried chicken. We got collard greens, potato salad, coleslaw, and red velvet waffles. Yeah, are we be getting it in?
Oh, my God.
Well, the plane is going to Las Vegas. He's got a captive audience. Why not try to sell some fried chicken and waffles, right?
Yeah. In a related story, my Uncle Pablo got in front of a sound speaker at a plane and talked about being at a Home Depot looking for work and having lots of children.
Okay.
Let's back it up a little bit, Flavor Flav. Let's just slow your roll just a bit, because there's other people in the world. Celebrity birthdays today. Maybe one of the greatest drummers in rock and roll history, Stuart Copeland, the rhythmist of the Police, 60 years old. Dancer, Michael Flatley. Lord of the Dance. Lord
no
of the Dance.
No one can see you doing that.
Doesn't work on radio, does it?
No.
Lord
Not
of the Dance.
All.
Although you did use some of those moves for the Hmong Olympics, which is what...
He's 54. Will Ferrell, everybody's favorite, 45 years old today. Corey Feldman is 41. And Chris Pontius, TV personality from Wild Boys and Jackass fame. Chris Pontius is 38 years old. I am Michael D. Catherwood reporting for Ralph Garman. That is a Showbiz Beat.
So what does everybody think about the first new No Doubt song in 11 years?
I like that. I'm excited to hear him again. Finally.
I've missed them so much.
Yeah.
Push and Shove is the name of the new album that is coming out on September the 25th. Hey, thanks a lot for tuning in to the Kevin Amin Show here on a Monday. Alex Clare.
Hi.
You're that guy with the guitar who sings that song. Welcome to the Kevin Amin Show.
Lovely to be here. Thank you. Such a nice
introduction.
Welcome.
Yes. I probably could have worked on that a little
bit
more.
That guy with that guitar that sings that song.
I think that's intimation. That's kind of exactly what I am, though. Okay. So
I mean, when you really boil it down to the basics, that's what's going on here. You're the guy who sings that song, right?
Absolutely.
Alex is a relatively new artist to us here in America, although you've been working in music for a long time. And you are one of the guys who has one of those super interesting stories where you put out a record and it essentially just was met with a colossal yawn from the rest of the world, right?
Pretty much.
And before we talk about how it all turned around for you and why you're sitting here today, tell me what went into making that first record. I mean, were you one of those guys who, from the time you were a little kid, you said, I'm going to grow up and be a rock star, and you put your whole heart and soul and life into getting that record
pretty
made,
much.
And then you just had to watch it all go down the drain?
Pretty much, yeah. I like slept on people's couches and had, like, literally, I was eating, like, ramen noodles for, like, 4 years.
Right. And you were thinking, but it's all going to be
it's
worth
it. It's all going to be all right
when
in
I
end.
Put this album out.
Exactly. Exactly.
How did you go through the process of getting, I mean, at some point you had to have been signed to a label. Somebody had to finance you making that record. Tell me how you did that.
I made a series of demos, which were, you know, they were sort of guitar-based, but also very heavily electronic-led, with sine wave bass lines. And at the time, record companies were looking for that, and somehow it worked their way into their hands. And, they liked it.
Okay. They liked it. They said, okay, Alex, we're on. Let's make a record. Mm-hmm. And then how long did it take you to make the record?
Probably about 6 months to a year.
And what did you think of it when it was done? Did you think
it was great.
Surefire hit?
You never know, do you? I mean, I never thought it was going to be a surefire hit, but I know that I liked it, and I'm sure a few other people did as well. I think it wasn't so much it was a yawn. It just didn't really get the exposure, you know? If you don't get the radio pluggers in the UK, and if you don't get the syncs and the promotional means, then it just kind of sits there and does nothing.
Regardless of how good it is, that's
exactly.
True. There's a
that's
lot
just
of
the way it is.
There are a lot of people out there with music that don't have any way of getting it to, you know, the masses.
And you could argue that some of the, you know, much of the greatest music being made today is not heard by a mainstream
absolutely.
Audience.
Absolutely.
You know? And in some ways, I mean, that's one of the great things about the, you know, the way the internet has balanced it out for music fans is it doesn't have to reach everybody. There can be a million niches and they're all available to you as long as you can find them, you know, which is nice. So you're a little disappointed because the record doesn't seem like it's going anywhere. And then what happened? What's the magic fairy tale ending to this story?
Suddenly,
then what happened?
Well, I you know, lost my record deal. I'm subsequently scratching my head thinking, what am I going to do with my life? And then suddenly I get a phone call from Bill Gates, not literally. but almost. If I see him, I'm going to kiss him, seriously. And he just, you know, Microsoft decided to use the song for, you know, their spot.
Now, do you know how that happens? Do you know how they discovered it?
Someone there just really liked it. I mean, the album got a little bit of exposure. And someone at the...
Someone latched onto it and said,
and
hey.
They liked it and they said, hey, can we use your song? And
so they called. Now, you've been dumped from your label. So they called you and you were like, is this... That's so funny that you say you're from Microsoft. Right? You don't believe it. I can't imagine it.
No, you know, you get emails and, you know, you just kind of say, you smile and nod and just go, yeah, all right, whatever.
Right.
And unfortunately, someone actually, you know, was serious.
That's crazy.
And also what's funny is, I mean, look, you needed the money and you said this is another way to get exposure for my music as well.
You know,
so,
what?
Yeah, I'll go ahead and roll the dice.
The sad reality is when you take a major record deal, they give you quite a lot of money and every bit of money you then make, they kind of go, that's ours now.
We want that.
So I would love to say I made a fortune out of that, but no.
Isn't not, that not interesting? Inside. So that all went back to the label that dumped you.
Fair enough. Yeah.
Wow. But it's one thing to be in a commercial. It's another thing to be in a commercial for Microsoft, for Internet Explorer, which ends up getting played, you know, a million times in every country in the world.
Yeah,
I mean, those guys know how to promote. Now, are you contractually required now to only look up things on Bing.com?
Not quite. Fortunately, they never stipulated that was a condition.
If they find anything other than Internet Explorer 9 on your computer, you're in a world of trouble. trouble.
Exactly, I am. They're gonna be knocking on my doors.
So we've heard so many stories with people who have had the magic from being in an Apple commercial.
Yeah.
And the same kind of thing happened to you. People saw the spot and they said, whoa, what's this? And then they tracked it down online or used Shazam or something to try to put your name with this track, right?
Shazam killed it. It was absolutely amazing.
That's the one that you got the most from?
The statistics were like 150 million Shazams.
Wow.
I didn't even know 150 million people had Shazam, but they do.
It's available to anyone, but most people you would think might write down some lyrics or mm-hmm. something and look it up online, and not everybody knows Shazam, apparently everybody does know Shazam and use it. So 150 million people find out that's you.
Yeah. Apparently so.
That's unbelievable.
Wow.
And then
you're rolling in cash.
Still not. But we're working on it.
There's a bus right outside. It's just a cash bus.
I can now afford like sandwiches as opposed to ramen noodles.
All right. I was a little bit nervous.
I think Up All Night was the first song of yours I heard, and I don't even remember where I heard it, but I liked it very much. And I didn't put two and two together until one day I was reading an article that mentioned your name, and it said that there was a lot of dubstep in your music, and I thought, well, that sucks. I will never listen to that guy.
But wow.
I hate dubstep, or so I thought, but then when I went out and got your album, it's not like the dubstep record. It's a dubstep influenced record. Would you say that's fair?
I think that's fair, yeah. I mean, the area of London I grew up in was always very big with UK garage and dubstep and drum and bass, and I always kind of wanted to incorporate those elements into a record, but use them more as melody instruments as opposed to just dance records, you know.
So. Yes, that's a great way to phrase it. That's what you've done, is you've taken the best part of dubstep and left the annoying part out, and I appreciate very much that you were able to pull that off.
I dance to dubstep. I just want to say that
it's very easy to dance to. You just want to sort of nod your head and fight somebody. It's pretty crazy.
Can we all agree that Skrillex needs to get an effing haircut? Can we all say yes to that, though? Come on.
That's something we can all agree on. Whatever floats his boat, man. If he wants to have the haircut, you know, more power to him.
The album is terrific. It is called Lateness of the Hour. And Alex is one of those guys, by the way, you listen to him, he sounds like a regular Brit. But when you sing, you've got a big, booming voice. Thank you very much. Very impressive. Really sounds great. Too Close is the name of the song we've been playing here on K-Rock. And Alex, am I correct that you are going to try to perform that at this redonkulous hour, as you call it, on K-Rock?
I'm going to try my best.
All right, we're going to take a break.
That was really mean. I was about to go.
I didn't do that.
That was guitarist interruptus.
Yeah. He was just about to strike.
I was literally about to play it.
So I wanted to stop you because we're going to take a quick break and then we'll come back.
Awesome.
And then we'll play it.
Great. Right.
Sorry about that.
Singer-songwriter Alex Clare in studio with us here on the Kevin Bean Show today. His album is called Lateness of the Hour. It's available everywhere. How many instruments do you play there, Alex?
I play a few. I'm kind of a jack of all trades, master of none kind of thing.
Guitar, you play guitar, you do some
drumming.
A little bit of drums,
a little bit of keyboards, you know.
Ukulele?
I can play the ukulele, yeah. I can play the spoons as well.
Harmonica.
Oh, I'd love to hear the spoons.
I can play the harmonica,
somebody
yeah.
Somebody get some spoons!
A guy who plays that many instruments is a guy who grew up with no friends. That's my theory.
Pretty much.
Yeah. And before we hear this too close, I saw your video for this. You are smart because you have a very intricate, detailed video with lots of action in it, and you don't have to do any of it,
I know,
right?
It's awesome.
You're basically sitting on a chair singing.
I had to crawl for about 3 foot of 10-year-old pigeon detritus, actually, for that video. It was disgusting.
Hmm.
So I had to do something, and it was bad.
Yes, that
I'm
seems
amazed
bad.
I didn't get botulism, but I'm okay. I came out the other side just fine.
And then you've got guys in like crazy fencing suits and black rubber masks.
I wanted like real samurais, like chopping each other's arms off, but just the budget wouldn't stretch to it, unfortunately.
No, that would have been great.
Blood spraying all over the place.
Lost some arms.
Yeah.
Now, is there any connection between what's happening in that fencing video and the lyrics of Too Close, or do they not match at all?
I think it's just like conflict, you know. I think that was the whole point. That struggle between two people who were once in love and now have nothing to do but fight.
It's a terrific song, and it's doing gangbusters here at K-Rock. It is called Too Close. Alex Clare is the singer, and he is here on the Kevin Beach Show right now, and you are going to perform that for us now.
I'm going to do it right now.
Love it. Okay. Thank you.
You know I'm not one to break promises. I don't want to hurt you, but I need to breathe. At the end of it all, you're still my best friend. Yet there's something inside that I need to release.
Which way is right? Which way is wrong? How do I say that I need to move on? You know we're heading separate ways. And it feels like I am just too close to love you. There ain't nothing I can really say. No, can't lie no more. Can't hide no more. Got to be true to myself. Cause it feels like I am just too close to love you. So I'll be on my way. Yeah. So I'll be on my way. You give me more than I can return. Yet there's oh so much that you deserve. Got nothing to say, got nothing to do, got nothing to give. I must live without you, girl. You know we're heading separate ways. And it feels like I am just too close to love you. There ain't nothing I can really say. Yeah. Can't lie no more. Can't hide no more. Got to be true to myself. Cause it feels like I am just too close to love you. Yes, it feels like I am just too close to love you. There ain't nothing I can really say. Yeah. Can't lie no more. Can't hide no more. Got to be true to myself. Cause it feels like I am just too close to love you. So I'll be on my way. Yeah. So I'll be on my way. So I'll be on my way.
Wow. Kids love it.
That crowd came out of nowhere.
That was awesome.
I didn't even know we had that many people in here watching. That's unbelievable. What did I tell you about this guy's voice, though? That's not the same guy, right? It's funny. You do size people up by the way they look. And you go, okay, this guy can only have this much soul, this much, you know what I mean, this much punk, this much whatever. And you don't fit. That's awesome.
No, because you do look like a regular white guy.
Yeah.
And in fact,
yeah,
you're not.
No, just massive beard and hat, and that's kind of it. Yeah,
that was great. And this is the beautiful thing. This is how you can tell an artist. And I'm not just trying to compliment you because you're sitting in the room, but I mean, that song has so much production value to it that it's easy to get lost in it and go, hey, it's a dance song. Of course, it's good because listen to everything that's going on. But when you strip all of that away and it's just guy with a guitar and it still is compelling, that means you got yourself a great song.
Sure.
That is terrific stuff. Too Close is the name of the song. The album is packed with them. It is called Lateness of the Hour. Alex Clare has been our guest here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Now, you're not performing or anything while you're through here. This is just promotion. What are the plans? When can people see you live? Do you know?
I think at the end of the month, we're playing in San Fran and in Seattle.
very useful information for our listeners.
However, I'm sure there will be some LA dates coming soon.
Great. Keep in touch, Alex, man. So nice to meet you. Thank
you.
This is a good day. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:39.
Why is it a surprise to you every time a song ends? Do you think when they start, they're going to be playing forever?
You know, some
do you think, oh, that song's on now. I don't have to worry about anything else for the rest of my life.
Yes, how most days I'm special needs.
Yes.
Right. Yeah, I've shifted into another gear today. Sorry.
Yes, you have. Hey, real quick, congratulations to our latest big Kevin and Bean winner, Penelope Uriari from Tahunga.
I'm sure that was right.
She won tickets to see Black Keys at Staples Center on October the 6th and is qualified for destination number 3 of the K-Rock Road Trip USA 2012, which is the Black Keys one more time, this time in Lollapalooza in Chicago. You can qualify all week. Another chance to win coming up. Details at krock.com. Harvey Levin, TMZ.com. How are you, my friend?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
thank you for joining us. A little bit of a somber note to get us started here today. We haven't talked about it much today, but super bad news for Sylvester Stallone's family on Friday. You guys once again broke the story. What went down with his son, Sage?
It's really sad. I mean, he's 36 years old, dead in his house. The housekeeper found him. Now, we have some law enforcement sources who are telling us, and they're connected, they're saying that based on what it looked like, he was dead for a minimum of 3 days. Could have been a week. They're saying that that nobody had heard from him in a week, and that his mother got concerned, called the housekeeper who had a key, and said, "Go in there and check on him." Some lawyer for the family, I'm not sure how this lawyer came around, but the lawyer is saying that they have evidence that he was alive even the day before. So I don't know, but it looks like this was an accidental overdose. I mean, they won't know for sure until toxicology comes back. A lot of pills in the room, but it looks like it was accidental, and it's really, really sad. I mean, Sylvester Stallone is devastated by this.
And, yeah, as any father would be, and many of our listeners may have even seen Sage Stallone on screen. He played Rocky Balboa's son in the Rocky V movie, right, when he was a young teenager. But this is what's weird, and I know that we all tend to canonize the dead Harvey, but you've got the one hand, you've got the family saying he was happy and outgoing and social and active and dating and was getting married. And then the details come out, you know, on your TMZ.com story that talked about how nobody had seen him for at least 3 days and he was living in filth. And there was nothing but pill bottles and cigarette butts and alcohol and everything like that. I mean, both of them can't be true, can they?
Well, no. I mean, they can't. And I can only tell you that, you know, we have some law enforcement sources who are really involved in this. And they are telling us that the room, it was littered with cigarette butts, beer, soda. There were two drawers of pills. And that he seemed to just kind of be living in the room. And the housekeeper apparently had been given instructions never to go in the room and not even to knock.
Wow.
Which is one of the reasons why she had actually gone there. I believe it was a day or two before they found the body, and she never went in the room and never saw him, and he could have been in there the whole time. It's just a sad story.
Sad story indeed. Not quite as sad, but still another WTF celebrity moment. Jason Kidd. What happened to NBA star Jason Kidd over the weekend again?
Well, DWI, they call it DWI there, drunk driving while intoxicated. But what's interesting about this is he had crashed his car. But we got pictures of him at a club about an hour before this happened, and apparently he was so drunk he literally had to be carried out of the club. Somehow he got in a car and they were, you know, urging him, don't drive, but he did anyway.
Wow.
Weird thing about that is, if somebody has to get carried out of a club, how can you not stop him from driving?
Yeah, can't you just take his keys?
That's what I'm thinking.
If he's that drunk that you're literally having to carry him out, you don't ask, you just take him.
That's the part that isn't quite computing with me here. But we have pictures that are up on the website, and he was definitely having a good time in this bar. I mean, there's no doubt about it.
But, Harvey, maybe the people around him aren't the kind of people that can do that to him. Maybe they were his yes people, his PR people, his friends, somebody.
It could be, but, it's just, you know, those at a point, you know, when you grab somebody's keys, even if they're pissed off at you that night, you would think the next morning,
right,
the person might be saying thank you.
Agreed.
Right.
Because I don't have that picture now that's in the press everywhere. That's
exactly right. Exactly.
And I didn't kill anyone by accident, which could have just as easily happened.
Absolutely.
Jason Kidd plays for the Knicks now. I guess I usually think of him as a net, but he's been in the league for a long time. I mean, he's one of the big players. But here's the question I'm sure you ask in your newsroom all the time, Harvey, during your meetings. How much money do you have to make before you go, it's okay for me to hire a driver, right?
It's just the weirdest thing. It is. Why?
What's the stigma? Why won't celebrities get a driver? There's no downside to it.
I think part of it is they just somehow want the freedom of doing it. I mean, that's like Lindsay Lohan, the worst driver ever. You know, she still drives. I mean, she's still driving.
But isn't there more freedom to do whatever you want as far as partying and everything else if you have a driver? You don't have to think about it.
Please don't make me get in their brains.
Harvey, get in their brains.
I'm just begging you.
Okay, let's
I mean, I would say, just to put a fine point on it here, you don't even have to worry about parking if you have a driver. You get dropped off and picked up everywhere you are. Then you just text your guy and he rolls around and gets you. I mean, it just seems like the life. If you had the money that Jason Kidd has, you could afford to do that. That's how you should live.
I have nothing to add.
Harvey, I would like for you to get inside the brain of Flavor Flav, though.
Oh, this is such a great story.
Please.
So you know what? I'm wondering what you guys would do. But so he's going from L.A. to Las Vegas and Southwest.
Right.
And the plane's starting to descend. So the flight attendant gives him the microphone.
Love it.
And he's then telling everybody to, you know, give it up for the pilot. Give it up. Give it up for the flight attendant.
Well, he's a hype man. That's what he does for a living.
He is a hype man.
And by the way, when you land at McLaren Airport, go right to Flavor Flav's Chicken and Waffles because we have a special today.
There's nothing Flavor Flav could do that would be wrong for me because he's just a cartoon.
He's the best.
But here's the question. We literally just did this in the morning meeting today. Here's the question. It's really funny as you're landing in Las Vegas. How funny is it when Flavor Flav gets in the microphone in the reverse, where you're going from McLaren after a party Las Vegas to Los Angeles?
No. Whole completely different thing.
Right.
Most of the time, you've lost a lot of money. You've gotten zero sleep. You do not need the hype man on the mic.
Right.
Agreed. I just love that there was a flight attendant who was put in the position of having to decide whether to hand the plane's microphone over to Flavor Flav, and she decided yes.
It's a good idea.
That's awesome, too. Flavor Flav wants your microphone, you give it to him. He's earned that.
Exactly.
Aren't there FAA rules on this?
Who knows?
You would think.
But he's Flavor Flav.
I love that he had the whole crowd in the audience, on the plane chanting Flavor Flav, too.
You've got to see the video. This is hilarious.
It's all up at TMZ.com. Don't forget, TMZ has many television shows, including about five times a day on Fox for the regular show, and then TMZ Live, where you get to call in and talk to Harvey and staff at 3 on Fox. Harvey, thanks for coming on, man. Have a great week.
Okay, guys, you too.
Thank you.
Our friend Mike Catherwood, co-host of Loveline 5 nights a week here on K-Rock, joins us in the studio now.
Is that the best whistle you got?
Mike, are you getting fat? What's going on with you, man? You're terrible.
I'm horribly out of shape. I've stopped working out, and I eat nothing but junk food.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, that's the mic we know. Filling in for Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat here on a Monday. Kevin and Bean Show, what's going on?
Speaking of getting fat, Jessica Simpson, you know, it's been much talked about how she got a new contract with Weight Watchers, and she's being paid, reports are she's being paid $4 million to lose at least 20 or 30 pounds by the end of August.
Okay.
But she's having some trouble. She gained 70 pounds to have her son Maxwell, which, you know, look, baby weight, it's got to be incredibly tough to get off. And
sure.
When you're gaining that much weight, regardless if there's a human coming out of your body, when you're gaining that much weight in such a quick amount of time, you know, in under a year, it's got to be tough to get it off. But reports are that she has people following her around, like, you know, like sober companions, almost making sure that she makes the right choices when it comes to eating and stuff. Yeah,
put the burger down.
And she had to give up the calorie-laden margaritas that she loved to slurp down to get the 20 or 30 pounds off, like I said, before August, or else she doesn't get that money. And I just have to say, you know, from my standpoint, you guys have me on all the time to talk about weight loss and, you know, the psycho body and stuff like that. It just, I actually, and I know you guys are going to think I'm joking.
You're a liar.
I actually feel bad
for her.
I feel bad for Jessica Simpson, and I feel like they're going about it in totally the wrong fashion. Whenever you kind of put restraints on someone in order to get them to make changes for their health, either give up alcohol or lose weight or try to exercise, it just doesn't ever work out.
But is this for her health or is this for money?
I think a combination of both.
That kind of thing.
And she could get that weight off doing this, but it's not going to stay off.
Right. Exactly.
She's going to get $4 million and then bounce right back up.
And Lisa, you bring up a very good point. We watched it happen when she lost all that weight for Dukes of Hazzard. I mean, she got in such good shape to do these bikini scenes for this movie. Almost immediately after she was done, boom, it came right back on.
Jessica Simpson, step away from the fries. Step away from the fries.
But isn't $4 million or whatever it ends up being enough of a motivation to just say, look, the next 3 months are going to suck, but it's worth it?
She has tons of money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do think, look, $4 million is a great motivator for anybody, even if you do. Like you said, Lisa, if you have tons of money, it's still a great motivator. But you can't underestimate the power of addictions, and food is a powerful one. And if Jessica Simpson is someone who absolutely chemically can't control her eating, people have to understand that. And it's not just a matter of like, hey, you're a hot blonde, you need to get in shape. I mean, it's deeper than that.
Take your head out of the lard.
What happened to Psycho Mike?
Had the same problem when she did Jenny Craig. She lost a bunch of weight, and then she started putting it back on. Then she went on Dancing with the Stars. Started losing it again.
Right.
I think she's kept it off this time.
I'm sure she's kept some of it off. But, I mean, I just know so many people in my personal life where... everybody bends over backwards to pat me on the back for quitting drugs and alcohol. And don't get me wrong.
I don't think it's that big a deal.
But I think that no one really appreciates how difficult it is when you have a chemical problem with food. Because that's a real thing.
You can't go cold turkey on food.
There's Beer Mug who just like, I better cut out the Del Taco and he can do it. Right. Then there's people who absolutely cannot. They get shivers when they drive by a fast food place on their way home from work and they cannot control it. There's a good chance that Jessica Simpson might be one of those people. So I just wanted to throw that out there.
Just as a final PS on this conversation, because now I'm bored. When you say Del Taco, you mean an unnamed fast food restaurant, because Del Taco itself, not only a proud sponsor of the Kevin DeBean Show, but an outstanding part of a healthy and nutritious diet.
Yeah, I would recommend anybody who wants to get in shape and look better and feel better about themselves to eat a lot of Del Taco.
Exactly. Thank you, Mike.
Anne Hathaway.
Yes.
Shocked the world by cutting off all her hair. Bad move because she has a big nose.
And we didn't notice it before.
Right. If you have like petite features, Lisa, back me up on this. The short hair, you can pull off the
cute,
pixie hair.
Little pixie look. Yeah. Adorable.
But she's got that beak. She told Kelly Ripa there that she was in hysterics when she saw the hair. She did it for a role. She's in upcoming Les Miserables.
Wait, she was in hysterics when she saw what she looked like?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's not good.
And,
can't they do a wig? Why do you have to cut your hair off?
It seems like a good point. Like
they do that all the time.
Because women really do. Like, they'll freak, right? If your hair doesn't come out the way you want.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for I mean, guy, you just have, a, you know you're going to have 6 months of ugly days.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
For a guy, you go,
Right.
Yeah, it'll grow back. It'll grow back. I just absolutely love this story. I can't believe it's true, but Flavor Flav.
You can believe it's true because it's Flavor Flav.
That's true. He's a 50-year-old grandfather who wears a Viking helmet. What really?
Giant clock around
his neck. Really can't happen with this guy. But recently he was on a flight and he took it upon himself to take over the sound system that they give you all the safety instructions. You know, the flight attendants will give you the safety instructions on it and whatnot. He took over that sound system to use it. To use it as a chance to promote his fried chicken restaurant in Las Vegas, Nevada. And
they were heading to Nevada, in his defense.
Well,
why not?
It works, because I didn't know he had one, and now I do.
If you were on that flight, Lisa, would you have gotten off the plane and tried out Flavor Flav's
I might have.
I would have gone right there. Absolutely.
Well, we actually have audio of Flavor Flav on the sound system on a flight recently where he's promoting his chicken restaurant.
Hey, yo, check this out. Also, just to let y'all know, that I do have a restaurant. It's called Flavor Flav House of Flavor. It's on Residence Island Parkway. It's a takeout restaurant only. Fried chicken. We got collard greens, potato salad, coleslaw, and red velvet waffles. Yeah, we be getting it in.
But not if you're Jessica Simpson.
Jessica Simpson not allowed at my chicken and waffle house.
Yeah,
I'd just be dying if I was on that
Me
flight.
Me too.
I just think... I
love him so much.
I wish this became like a celebrity trend. Like George Lopez gets on a flight and he's like, I just want to say everybody that my aunt, she'll draw on your eyebrows for you. She has a salon in El Monte. Everybody just stop by if you'd like. Beer Mug's up there. My uncle's an attorney. He'll take care of all your needs. Don't worry about it. If you're in trouble, call Johnny Schwartz. Good guy. sad story. You guys were talking about it with Harvey just in the last break, but Sage Moonblood Stallone, the 36-year-old son of Sylvester Stallone, was found
dead.
Nice
transition, Mike.
Yeah. That was sweet. That was nice.
Well, I wanted to work in the happy into the sad.
Okay.
But it is a sad story. Yeah, he's 36 years old. He's found dead, and, you know, there's varying accounts of what condition the place was in when he was found, but we do know that he is dead, and he's 36. That's all that matters. And I will say this. You know, a lot of people like to dance around it, but pills are the epidemic of our time right now. Like, I used to go to meetings and it'd be 20 guys who were alcoholics and, like, one guy who popped a pill. Now it's completely the opposite.
Now it's 20 with pills.
It's truly an epidemic. And I just want, like, don't think that just because something is at one point sold over a counter with a pharmacist, you know, stamp on it, that it's not dangerous. More people die from that than cocaine and heroin in triplicate. You know, it's really a dangerous thing. And
you're saying you should do cocaine and heroin?
I'm saying if you're going to eat pills, do heroin and cocaine too.
Okay.
That's the take-home message. No, I'm just saying that, you know, I still think that somehow no matter how many people die, especially celebrities die from eating pills and mixtures of them, that people don't get the message that this is an incredibly fatal cocktail of, you know, be it barbiturates or pain pills, opiate-based stuff. It's an incredibly dangerous thing to do.
You've been hanging out with Dr. Drew too much. You used to think pills were fun, man.
Yeah, that's true. Dr. Drew's total buzzkill. Real quick, best story ever. Kanye West tries to tell... not really best story ever. No. Kanye West told Kim Kardashian, Us Weekly's reporting he got a new cell phone just to talk to her. Okay. That's like step number one for the cheating man.
Sure, because he doesn't want her to check anything, that any messages he's getting from other women.
Any texts.
Naked pictures.
Yeah.
Whatever, maybe. Phone numbers. Who's this?
This is just for you, honey.
He had to dedicate this phone just to her because they talk so much and he's so madly in love. I've never met any guy who has two separate cell phones unless it's Dr. Drew, who's is on call.
Of course.
Or he's cheating on his lady. Like, every friend of mine that's married and has mistresses has second cell phones. That's the only people I know.
Or drug dealers. Maybe he has that.
Yeah, but...
Maybe you have a second for a drug dealer.
That's a good call.
Yeah.
It's been a while, Kevin. Hit my drug dealer. I know you've recently been hitting up Spider in El Monte to get your...
Whatever. And then he gets his eyebrows done.
To get his... That's right.
Stupid. Look at your eyebrows. Stupid.
I guess you're done.
I am done. Celebrity birthday. Stuart Copeland, 60. Michael Flatley, Lord of the Dance, 54 years old. And Corey Feldman, he sucks. He's 41. Will Ferrell's 45. And that is Ralph Garman, Showbiz B.
All right, Comic-Con 2012, as you know, was just this past weekend. I didn't see Gene Simmons there, but I did read reports, Kevin, and this won't surprise you, that Mr. Simmons, of course, bass player, founder of the band Kiss, he jumped on somebody else's panel. He jumped up on stage and stole a microphone from somebody else's panel and started addressing the crowd. Because,
of course.
Because there can never be a time where Gene Simmons isn't involved in promoting something, right?
Yeah.
In the Kiss empire.
And even if it's at somebody else's expense.
Which I think is hilarious because he had his own stuff going on at Comic-Con, as we'll discuss with Mr. Simmons right now, but he was also interested in talking to everybody else who wasn't there to see him, which is what I love about Gene. Hey, Gene Simmons, what's going on, man?
Well, you have the story wrong. Not only did I need the attention, but I actually owned the warehouse where that panel was being held, and they owed me money.
Oh, is that right?
Yesterday
that panel. I didn't realize that.
You people owe me $70,000 for even being in these seats. It's true.
Somehow I would not doubt that, actually, because you are one of the richest guys ever. So let's talk a little bit about Comic-Con, first of all. Did you see people dressed up as your Kiss character while you were there?
Of course. There was plenty of people dressed up.
Nope. I didn't see any of them.
There were thousands.
I saw zero people.
Of thousands
I didn't
people.
See one single
Maybe
Gene Simmons.
Maybe half a million people.
I'm telling you, I was there all week.
Assaulted the city of San Diego.
Didn't see a single one.
Exclusively. You know, there was no one dressed as anything else, pretty much.
All right. One of the two things that you were promoting this time is, I guess you have your own comic book line, right? Simmons comic book lines. And you put out a bunch of different comic books that I guess you were involved in creating. One of them is called Gene Simmons House of Horrors. What's that about?
Well, the House of Horrors is really a collection of different superheroes and evil villains. And I actually did this comic book line a little while ago, and we're resuscitating it because it was so successful. Mm-hmm. And I figured I could make some money off of it, you know, as any endeavor. It's a business endeavor for Gene Simmons.
Sure.
And
mm-hmm.
We're releasing it as the Gene Simmons Monster Package. Lisa May.
Yes.
Speaking of Gene Simmons Monster Package,
yeah.
I have another one.
Yeah.
Right here, in my pants.
Right.
You
Again,
also have
we got
Zipper, which is an alien book, and Dominatrix, which is obviously about pleasure and pain. Those are some of your other comic books that you're behind.
That's right, Ben. After working on these comic books, again, you know, we really got some of the best artists out there, both classic and contemporary comic book artists,
mm-hmm.
very avant-garde guys. It really sparked my interest in comic books again, and I'm going to be releasing a whole new line coming up in 2012, 2013. And like I said, these artists that I've got are really avant-garde.
Mm-hmm.
Lisa May, I'm a big fan of splatter art. Can I,
Come
can
on.
I show you?
You know,
can
I thought you were going to go with speaking of releasing, but that's just me.
Well, there you go. I can see where your mind is. It's in my lap.
Gene, the Monster Book Lodge is another crazy thing for diehard, hardcore Kiss.
Lisa May, speaking of lodging a monster, see what I did?
I
didn't even have that one written down.
Wow. This is a new book that costs, there's only 1,000 copies of it, that it's going to cost around $1,000. It's a giant book that is handmade. It's 3 feet tall. And it, as I said, it's a limited edition that costs $4,000 that you're selling to your fans.
I've got something else that's 3 feet tall.
No. Come on.
It's not even
First
an effort.
Of all, it's not.
Well, no, I have a midget.
I'm sorry.
Oh, you have a midget.
Yeah, you got a dirty mind, Lisa.
Wow, Lisa, you're really thinking dirty today.
I mean, you bring up a good point. It's a little bit expensive for one book, but it's made...
$4,000.
It's made completely out of the finest Argentinian leather, the outer bindings, uh-huh. And the inside is fully recycled paper. It's totally sustainable. Lisa May, I've got a milkshake that you could sustain yourself on for weeks. Protein rich.
Let's just not even... That didn't even relate to the...
Not a little
shake,
bit.
Sustainable.
The book. No.
You guys want to hear about some of the new
hang up
characters
on
I'm developing?
hang up on you.
Yes, I do. I'd like to hear about some of the new characters you're developing, Gene Simmons. Sure.
You are? You guys excited for the Olympics? I'm really excited for the javelin. Lisa May, speaking of javelin,
right.
I'd like to launch something at you.
Okay.
Gotta go, Gene.
Super Beaver. One of my characters is a Super Beaver.
Okay, we
gotta
go.
You guys want to hear about it? Lisa May.
No!
Another guy decorates women.
Stop it.
Another guy was birthed in radioactive goo. Radioactive goo.
Thank you, Gene.
We have time for one final look at the showbiz beat here on a Monday Kevin and Bean Show. We start at the box office. It doesn't matter what I'm about to say because next weekend it's all Dark Knight Rises.
Yes, it is.
Friday is the day the new Batman movie comes out. But until then, Ice Age 4 gets to be number one with a huge debut over the weekend, $46 million. I don't know that I ever remember three huge kids movies being out at the same time, but it's a great time, I guess, if you got those kids, you're trying to entertain them in the hot summer because you got Madagascar 3 that's also in the top 10 and Brave, which is also in the top 10. So a lot of stuff out there for kids. Amazing Spider-Man came in at number 2, then Ted came in at number 3, which I still haven't seen, by the way, but is on track to be the biggest grossing R-rated comedy of all time.
Yeah, that makes you bad.
It does make me bad.
Yeah.
Because I like everybody involved in the movie.
Right.
And Seth MacFarlane is a genius.
Right.
Why haven't I gone to see
and
that?
Why haven't you?
I don't know. I struggle. That's why. Speaking of movies, a couple of things came out at Comic-Con 2012 this weekend that I wanted to mention. One is, and this was a little bit of a surprise to me, is that I had not heard anything about this, but Warner Brothers announced that they're going to make a new Godzilla movie. Didn't you think the last Godzilla movie just finally killed the franchise?
It was terrible.
Was that the one with
Matthew Broderick?
Matthew Broderick in New York? That you know what I thought? I thought that was one of the best movies ever. In the bad movie category. Like,
yes.
You've never seen a worse movie than that Godzilla.
Yeah, that was horrible. And I think there actually was another one after that, Godzilla 2000 or something like that. I don't remember what it was called. But, I mean, the franchise has been around for decades, and I guess you can't kill it. But Warner Brothers announced that they are taking it very seriously. They have not yet started filming yet, but the director, Gareth Edwards, was there, and he said there is nothing sci-fi about this movie. It is very grounded and very realistic. Which seems maybe like an odd choice of words about you know, a giant lizard destroying Tokyo, that you're going to be able to make that, you know, grounded and realistic. But they say they're making it, and they say it's going to be great. So if you're ready for Godzilla, it's coming.
NBA player Jason Kidd was popped with DUI charges yesterday morning in New York. Apparently, he had crashed his car into a telephone pole. If you go to TMZ.com, they've got photos that they say are from the night in question, and he was in a nightclub, and they apparently had to carry him out of the nightclub.
He was that drunk.
He was that just something out of it. Literally, two guys had to get, and he's not a one. Yeah, he plays in the NBA, but he's a guard. He's not a big guy, so they're carrying him out, and somehow he ended up behind the wheel. I don't know how no one stopped him from doing that.
Wow,
as drunk as he was, he couldn't have put up much of a fight.
You can't walk out, you
right?
Can't drive.
And so he drove right into a pole, and then they arrested him for DUI. Dumbass.
Dumbass indeed. Get a driver. That's what we say.
Right.
Two interesting stories with Paul McCartney in the news. The guy just is not slowing down. He's what? He's 70? I think he just turned 70 last month or something like that. He jumps on stage with Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band. They're doing a concert in London, Hyde Park.
Way
over
to
the weekend.
Bring it down, you know?
What do you mean?
Springsteen's playing and then up comes McCartney? Oh, well, dear God, no.
I think it's a big thrill for the crowd and also for Bruce Springsteen, who grew up a Beatles fan.
Oh.
Now, at this point, Bruce is already a half hour past the curfew, okay? They've got a curfew like they do in a lot of places where you can, you know, you get massive fines, and at some point they pull the plug on you if you go too late. Look, we've had that happen at a lot of K-Rock shows before, right? Where they've just said you can't go a minute past whatever the time is. So the curfew is 10:30. That's the deal that they've worked out in London's Hyde Park. I know, 10:30 on a Saturday night, right?
What kind of... They shouldn't have started the show till then.
Bruce is already over. It's already 11 o'clock when he brings Paul McCartney up on stage, okay? They do I Saw Her Standing There, and then near the end of Twist and Shout, which was the second number that they're doing together, which must have been incredible, by the way, the cops pull the plug. They turn off the electricity to the stage. Bruce Springsteen and Paul McCartney are singing Twist and Shout, and they pulled the plug on them.
That takes some balls.
Yes, it does. Everybody was so pissed, as you can imagine. I mean, they do it because they've got an agreement with the neighborhood.
Of course.
Steven Van Zandt, the guitar player for the E Street Band, he tweets, on a Saturday night, come on, who are we disturbing, you know? And they couldn't even live. You can't even say goodbye to the people who have come out to see your show at that point. You just have to slink off stage in silence.
Thanks for coming, everybody.
So that was sad thing number one. Thing number two about Paul McCartney, and I always wonder, we had a conversation once on the Kevin DeBean Show, and we had Sting in the studio about how many houses he has. Because if you've got all the money in the world, you might as well just have a house everywhere you like to go, right?
I guess, but I've always wondered, like, don't they fall? I guess you would also put people there to keep them clean and take care of them, but.
Yeah, you would have staff, I guess.
I guess if money's no object, I guess why not?
I remember hearing years ago that Elton John used to pay guys who would go in and put fresh flowers in all of his houses, whether he was going to be there or not. And that's just how you know you have too much money. Anyway, you know, he's got a new wife named Nancy that he's very happy with. And she has
Elton
a son.
John?
No, Paul McCartney. Back to Paul McCartney. She has a son who is attending college in Florida. So Paul has just bought a new house in Florida so that, you know, they can be there and they can be close to, you know, his new wife's son. This article mentions that he already has homes that he lives in London, also in Arizona, also in East Hampton, New York, also in Manhattan, also in Beverly Hills.
Wow.
Also in Sussex, England. He has a country estate, too, in Sussex as well, where he has a recording studio. He spends a lot of time there. Can you imagine what it must be like to keep track of? How many homes is that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 houses. Like, how do you, I mean.
Would you start sort of feeling bad, like I haven't visited that one in a while, almost like it's a pet.
Is he just so famous that going to hotels is too much of a hassle?
That's a good question, because it would be a hassle.
I mean, he couldn't step out without being bothered all the time.
If you're coming to L.A., it seems like it would be easier to stay in a hotel than have to maintain a mansion in Beverly Hills year-round.
No, but Lisa's right. As far as showing up, and then everybody wants your autograph and your picture
No matter what the hotel is.
It'd be a lot better to have a house.
I mean, just the nightmare of having something to keeping clothes in each of those houses, so you've got something to change into, you know?
Money's no object.
Food in the fridge. I mean, it just seems like logistically, it seems like it would be a lot of work. That's all I'm saying.
It seems like a lot.
But he's living the life, as long as you don't want to hear him on stage. Because hey, look, it is 10:30 after all.
10:30 on a Saturday night. I thought L.A. rolled up early. That's crazy. All right, celebrity birthday, Stuart Copeland of The Police, 60 years old. The Lord of the Dance, Michael Flatley, is 54. Phoebe Cates is 49. She was in Fast Times.
Yes, she was.
High, one of the best scenes of all time. Corey Feldman is 41. He's been in nothing that's the best of all time. Ed Kowalczyk of Live is 41. Chris Pontius is 38 years old. Anna Lynn McCord is 25. Yes. And the very super hot Will Ferrell is 45 years old. And that's the showbiz beat. Tomorrow morning we have an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We have Landon Donovan on the program from the LA Galaxy. We have, what should you do about traffic tickets? I brought this up a couple of weeks ago because I got a letter from the DMV saying that I was one of the worst drivers in the Southland. And I took that personally because it's just not true. But I got one of those red light pictures and everybody is giving me differing opinions everywhere you go. Don't pay it, pay it. Don't pay it, pay it. So we're going to ask.
Yeah, we heard some people who said you just throw it away and you'll never hear from again. We had other people who said, yeah, I got my wages garnished because I didn't pay for one. I mean, and I don't know if it just is a matter of
jurisdiction.
Yeah, maybe like where you got the ticket or what. But we've got an expert on that we've talked to before. That he's one of the traffic defenders and he is going to, you know, bring us up to speed with that. And what else we need to know? What else is new in traffic tickets?
I know that I have a very, very short memory, but every time we have one of these people on, I think, okay, that's what I need to remember. And then,
you don't.
When I get pulled over, I think, what did that guy say that we had on? I can't remember. And also tomorrow we will continue with K-Rock's Road Trip USA 2012. Stop number three is the Black Keys at Lollapalooza in Chicago. So we will continue that tomorrow morning as well, and all new Kevin and